No.
All right. Mr. Chair, I'd like to call this meeting to order. The time is 5:37. This is the Main Gate District Design Review Committee meeting for dated Wednesday, August 23rd, 2017 at 5:30 p.m. As noted, we're about 7 minutes behind. I'd like to complete a roll call. Rick Gonzalez.
Here.
Tom Warren.
Here.
Bob Smith is absent due to a conflict. Jay McCollum.
Here.
Johnny Birkenbein.
Here.
And Matt Williams.
Here.
Okay, Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
All right, very good.
Okay. Our first action today is approval of the legal action report from dated October 17th, 2016. Now, this is quite a long time ago, so I'm hoping that your memory will serve you well and there aren't any comments or suggestions at this time.
Comments here. I motion to approve.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
I'll abstain. I wasn't here.
Okay. Thank you. Did you know that? Okay. Next item on the agenda is the Main Gate Overlay District 17-02, the Speedway Tyndall Hub 3. At this time, I'd like to introduce Kelly Lee. She will be presenting our staff report. Kelly has joined us about 7 months ago from the consulting world, and she will be the project planner for the life of this project. So from all three phases, the first being the design kind of public phase, the second phase being the design review package along with the development plan and the construction plan, and the third phase, which is out of the ground. Kelly?
Thank you, Carolyn. I'm happy to be here tonight. For the record, my name is Kelly Lee. I'm the City of Tucson project planner for the Hub 3 of Tucson. And Hub 3 is opted for Ordinance 11394 and 11015, C91201 Main Gate Overlay District. Staff conducted a general compliance review for the pre-application meeting as well as the design package. Before we begin, I'd just like to go over a couple of items with everyone. And Carolyn did send an email earlier to this fact, but I'll go over it just so everyone understands. It's regarding the DRC, the Design Review Committee, review procedures for development in the Area 1, the Tyndall sub-area, and the DRC review procedures for the applicant's request to utilize the Section B3 of the Urban Design Best Practices. So the project is located in the Area 1, the Tyndall sub-area, on the southwest corner of Speedway Boulevard and Tyndall Avenue. The property is zoned C1. And in accordance with Section B-2D6, the DRC or the design professional's recommendations shall be advisory to the director, and the director shall make the final decision on the project's compliance with the Main Gate Overlay District design requirements. When the proposed case is located in the Tyndall sub-area, the DRC shall make the final decisions on the compliance with this development document on any special procedures noted in Section D, Area 1. The DRC may add special conditions to an approval to assure compliance with the Main Gate Overlay District. Also, appeals to the DRC decision shall be in accordance with the Board of Adjustment Appeals process in Section 310.1 of the Unified Development Code. As part of this, The following applies in accordance with the Section D to the subject parcels of the Tyndall subarea. So Section D4, it identifies all the tax code parcels that we're talking about tonight, the subject property. And these tax code parcels are actually, according to the main gate district, they're actually slightly off. All of them have a B at the end because the parcel numbers have changed due to the right-of-way taking for the along Speedway for the bus stop. So Section D4A, building heights are not to exceed 4 stories or 56 feet. And Section D4B is special bulk reduction plan. The Design Review Committee may approve a special bulk reduction plan using setbacks and other criteria for buildings along the west side of Tyndall. There will be a finding to assure the historic buildings to the west are considered in this design. The bulk reduction on the other sides of the building may be less than is required in C-17, and the provisions of Section C-18G should be taken into consideration. So, identifying the Section C-17 is the height and the mass transition. So just to be specific, along Speedway and Euclid, the height and mass transition must occur through the stair-stepping method along 75% of the length of the street facade above 2 stories or 26 feet, whichever is lower, by which the building mass above 2 stories or 26 feet shall be set back a minimum of 12 feet from the building facade at finished grade. And then the Section C-18G is regarding the non-historic, non-contributing properties, so that the development of the property that is neither a contributing property in the West University National Historic District nor located in the West University Historic Preservation Zone, but which is adjacent to the contributing property, shall be designed to complement the architecture of the contributing property. Which is the case in this instance, in that just to the west is actually the boundary of the West University Neighborhood Preservation Zone, as well as the contributing property. So in that the architecture that complements the existing contributing properties shall be achieved through elements such as styles, colors, forms, and materials, but is not intended to impose additional limitations on allowable heights. Other elements include addressing privacy mitigation and building preservation through architectural elements such as building setbacks and setbacks, textures, materials, forms, and landscaping. All right, so that's it for that procedure. And the second thing I wanted to talk about is the fact that the applicant is requesting the alternative setbacks design along Speedway. And per the main gate overlay district in Section B3, in order to accommodate the creative solutions to design and development issues, the director may approve alternatives to the development regulations determined by the director to be consistent with urban design best practices. The applicant is requesting this alternative setback, and thus the director has forwarded this request to the DRC for recommendation and approval. So the four options that they have tonight for the urban design best practices is to include design studies approved by the City of Tucson, adopted urban design standards for the downtown area or university transition area in an American city of comparable size, books written by urban design experts or endorsed by professional organizations such as the AIA or APA, which address downtown or university transition areas. And lastly, any standards recommended by the city's design professional and approved by the director. So with that, unless you have any questions for staff, we can move on with item 3 on the agenda.
Are the procedures clear and the reasoning behind? Okay. All right. Rick, would you like to present at this point, or should we ask the presenters to proceed with their piece and then we can follow?
I'll be happy to follow up with them so that we're not just repeating something that they may have already addressed.
Okay, great. Thank you. Rory?
Great. Good evening. For the record, my name is Rory Juneman, Lazarus Silverman Bangs. We represent Four Spaces. With us tonight in Four Spaces is... Eric Grimm, Jeff Zalisco from Antunovich Associates is the architect on the project. Also with us tonight is Jason Morse from Goodyear Engineering, and Carrie Sylvan and Robin Large is a new planner in our office, so welcome. So for our tonight's agenda, we're going to start off with kind of a brief overview of the site, just kind of refresh you. I've met with most of you on this site already, but I just want to go over the site, give you kind of a refresher. We also want to review our process that we've had to date. We've done, as Kelly said, a pre-op meeting. We've met with most of you on this. I do want to go back and show you some of the concept drawings, our first concept drawings from the project. I met with you all in May on those concept drawings, and I've also had some follow-up meetings on the step back. And from those meetings, we got from you some specific feedback that that we're going to cover tonight and kind of address. Jeff's going to go through the design package. During that design package presentation, then we'll highlight those areas where we have kind of addressed the feedback and your comments along the way. We'll conclude with some just some information on operational and communications items, and then have a we'll leave plenty of time for questions. We have a lot of material to cover, so if you could hold off your comments and questions that might generate some discussion until the end, we'd appreciate it. If you have questions, clarifying questions, or you want us to explain something that we're explaining or that we're showing, please let us know at that time. All right, here's the property, the site, southwest corner of Speedway and Tyndall. We are the first project on the Speedway front. We're the first project in the main gate on the Speedway frontage, so we're excited about that. We paid a little, well, Jeff and his team particularly paid a lot of attention to the design on Speedway, the building frontage and its streetscape. So the project is a mixed-use project. We're going to have some retail on the Speedway frontage, about 4,400 square feet, might be one or two tenant spaces. The rest of the first floor is residential. We'll have our lobby and some amenity space. And then, actually, on the Tyndall frontage, we're going to have three townhouse units with street entrances. We did the same thing at Hub 2. It really worked out. It's a popular product. So we're extending that to Hub 3 as well. The top three stories, or the three upper stories, are residential only. And we will have a rooftop amenity that we'll talk a little bit more about in the presentation. We're four stories. We're right under 54 feet. As Kelly said, the maximum is 56 feet, so we're under that. And really, our project on a lot of different levels is smaller than anything else that's in the main gate, smaller than what CORE has built. And I think it's the smallest so far in the main gate from all the student housing projects. There's approximately going to be 56 units and 186 beds at the project. For comparison, Hub 1 had 594 beds and Hub 2 had 311. So it is quite a bit smaller than the other two projects. Parking, we anticipate 52 vehicle parking spaces spread on two levels. And at this point, we think we have about 91 bicycle spaces as well. So back in May, we met with, back in May, we had our pre-application meeting, as Kelly discussed. We got some really good feedback from staff on confirming some things on our design, giving us some suggestions on things we needed to tweak. One of those is the step back, our step back request that we're going to talk a little bit more about. And then we also met with one person from each of the DRC stakeholder groups. Met with Jane, Bob, and Matt to go over our initial concept designs. And I just want to run through these just as a frame of reference. For the most part, our design that we're presenting you today and it has the same look and feel as what we presented back in May. We've added a lot of details. We've definitely changed some things, but from an overall color scheme and a building design standpoint, it is very similar. So this is, if you were looking from Speedway right at the Tyndall, this is Tyndall, this is the Speedway, this is just that corner looking from the north, looking southwest. This is the Tyndall frontage. As I mentioned, these are the townhouse type units that are on the front. The entrance is here. The vehicle entrance is there. This is the Speedway frontage. And then this is just a more of a detail of the Speedway frontage. So in those May meetings and then some of the follow-up meetings, what we heard from you are certain comments and requests for more information. This included giving more views of the pedestrian levels at Tyndall and along Speedway to really give you a good idea of how it's going to look when it's built. Our initial renderings didn't include the bus stop, didn't include the correct or the full sidewalks, and so in our presentation materials today, we will show you that. You also wanted to see sort of how our project's going to integrate with the other existing projects along Tyndall. We've done that through some renderings. We also are going to provide, or we'll show you a pedestrian and vehicle circulation map that sort of shows how everything operates functionally. Pedestrian level lighting, there was a concern that there's not enough currently, so we've added some to the project. We're going to show the considerations of the historic properties to the west. We'll talk about the rooftop amenity location. When we first met with you, there was some discussion on exactly where would be the best location for that. You'll see we've put it kind of right in the middle of the project, where I think is probably the best from a safety and mitigating the concerns about the rooftop amenity. So we'll talk more about that. The corner of Speedway and Tyndall is a prominent feature. We had some discussions early on about that element, and we've refined that design. I'll show that to you. We had some discussions about the retail space, the best location for it, some concerns about the loading area and the impact on the neighbors, and we'll address that. And then we'll spend some time on this Speedway setback request that we have. Kind of go back through it and tell you the nice job of reviewing the code requirements. We'll go through what our request is specifically and where justifications are for that. So I'm going to turn it over to Jeff to walk through the design package, and then, like I said, we'll highlight those things where we're addressing the feedback we got from our meetings back in May. Jeff.
Hello, everybody. For the record, my name is Jeff Salisco. I'm with Antunovich Associates. We're here representing Core Spaces for this project as the architects. We're very excited to be here presenting this project, just as we were with the first two. We just are so excited about the positioning of it and how, you know, this building has stepped down based on really the phase zoning, and we've really just worked within that. So you've seen, and we've talked with you about our previous, you know, initial design. So this is a shot just looking right at the building along Speedway. And I'm going to go through the design. I think we've got a lot of ground to cover, and probably cover a lot of the things through the renderings. By the time we get to elevations, we'll cover a lot of those things. But so we'll move through it quickly. So looking at the building from Speedway, I wanted to talk a little bit about the corner. This was a work in, you know, something we just continued to work through. And we've integrated some cool elements, I think, threaded glass. And this element right here actually has some backlighting. So at night, there's this subtle little glowing that occurs behind it. And even because it's facing north, we think that during the day, it'll still be visible. So we wanted to create a subtle reinforcement of the corner of the building beyond what it was before. And we were very happy with how that worked out. Also, that portion of the building has corrugated metal siding, vertical siding. That's the only element that really has this. So again, another way to sort of highlight that element of the building. Also, as we're going through this, the DRC comments that Rory had mentioned, those I'm going to kind of hit on those as we go through this. So another important element was the additional lighting. So we've added that. throughout the entry of the building, we think that that was an excellent idea and something that should be part of the building, integrated very carefully. Another element, this had to do with the setbacks. So this building, I'm not sure if it's clear, but what we're proposing is this whole element of the building above the first floor sets back 3 feet, as opposed to setting back 12 feet above the second floor. And we'll look at comparisons on that later, but the reason for this is it really emphasizes the retail at the street, makes that a very powerful element. Then the building above clearly is delineated as the residential setback. There's a wonderful line of ground cover that will kind of drape over the edge. So that reinforces that separation, reinforces the different uses of the building. We think that that's very important. And also that bit of a setback also will create a better feeling along the street. Also, as we're looking at this, the bus stop, we have integrated that as it exists today. So you're going to see that in several of the renderings. And there are new renderings from what you have seen from the initial package. Also, as we're looking at this, some of the materials, we have a corrugated EPS material, the starker element, and that contrasts against the lighter element, which is the EPS color. But this has it's a new product that has a really cool model character to it, which that sort of product had not had earlier. And we really feel like that played well into the existing homes to the west, and just a great material that ties in with a lot of things. Also, the base of the building, this is a porcelain tile, a very durable product, and we found the product, I have a sample for it, I'll put it on the lights and we'll look at that a little bit later, but it has sort of a sort of distressed metal, almost like a tungsten metal color of a metal that's sort of become distressed and anodized over time, so we feel that that's a really cool contrast in texture and color to what happens above, again, reinforcing the retail along the street on Speedway and then around the corner where the townhomes exist. Looking now, this is looking south along Tyndall, and an important element in the building, we have townhomes similar to what existed in Hub 2, and those get eyes on the street, just like the lobby and the entry do, so there's a lot of activity with people here. Those are depressed down about 4 feet, so there's a depressed courtyard. Creates a little bit of privacy for those people, but also that's just part of, you know, working within the heights that we're allowed. So you're seeing that. There's a wonderful fence with a perforated screen, landscaping around it, great landscaping along the street. And the landscaping, elements are very similar to what had carried down to the south on Hub 2 and Hub 1, and really across the street, same materials at Palo Verde. There's the street tree, a lot of the same, you know, shrubs and ground cover are used. So there's a continuity as you extend down towards the south. And those same elements actually continue on Speedway, where there is nothing like that at all right now. So that's a big improvement, we think, as far as what's happening at the front of the building. Also, along here we have, you know, there's bike parking benches and things like that. And again, materials that we had on the first two buildings. Also on the front of that threaded glass element where there's these two panes that are running perpendicular to each other. Again, we felt that was a very cool subtle way of reinforcing the corner along with that subtle lighting that we're proposing.
So, Jeff, before you move on, you'd mentioned that we included some renderings in the presentation that weren't in our design package in the middle. We've noted those,
yeah,
a little end.
With an end, yeah.
So
this is one of them.
Yeah.
I think the other thing about this is looking down on Tyndall, there is a little bit of a thread from this to our other buildings, but they're very distinctly different buildings at the same time. We didn't want them to look like they were kind of just copies of each other. The materials are different, the massing is different, the scale obviously is different. So that was important, that there was a little bit of a thread. And the same thing goes along the homes along Speedway, that there's a thread, you know, whether it be the materials or the proportions that we wanted to reinforce with this building. So this is another new rendering. This is a close-up looking along Speedway towards the east. Again, you're seeing that corner, this kind of cool glass elements playing against each other. And then you get a real strong feeling of how this setback works, how that's pushed back. And also the elements up on the building, I think you get a good feel for this, a real subtle use of materials where this one element, this stucco or ethos element, has really a character like a corrugated siding. So that's one color, it's a darker color, and then when we get to this other one, it has that mottled color. So the color changes and also the texture. And we think that that makes it very powerful, very subtle colors, but used in a very powerful way. And again, those contrast really strongly against that the porcelain tile that we're proposing down below. I think another important element here, the retail, very glassy, so that there's a lot of life with that. We have looked at this being on the corner, but the way the tunnels are nestled, and we'll see it in the plans in a little bit, it's really difficult to consider having the retail at the corner. And we get very good depth and very, you know, like 60-foot deep retail space is really good. We have like 4,200 square feet of retail, so that could work as one retailer, as a big restaurant or something along those lines, or two smaller, you know, 2,100 square foot restaurants. So very good size and shape with the retail that's located in that area. One other element, again, the landscape along the street, and then there's that bus stop nestled in. And we have to maintain a 12-foot separation between that and the building. And we've created a little step back that frames that in the building, which I think looks entirely like it was done on purpose. I think it was. But it's, you know, we worked around that to make sure that there was that separation. So this is further back. We're pulled back a little bit to the west. This is where the transformers will be for the electrical, so there's perforated panels in there. We wanted to dress it up, make it look good, but it really is a very functional space, so they have to be able to pull the transformer over the top when they have to be removed. So that goes for really any of the buildings of this scale in the area. And again, you get a good feel for this retail presence. And then back here, that action that'll take place from the amenity areas and lobby. So a lot of action along those. And I think this really reinforces how that setback works with the portion of the building above. And I did want to reinforce an important part of this was that we wanted to be able to keep these units stacking, especially in a smaller building. We wanted a little bit of an economy of scales. With that setback that would have occurred, we would have set back right above this, and the building to me looked a little bit like it was trying to figure out what it was. And this, you know, these different elements we think are much stronger. Similar to one of the other images, this is another one. It kind of pulls back and gives you a good view looking down Speedway and then back toward down Tyndall, seeing the other buildings, you know, as they step up and move, and some of the similarities and differences that occur there. I think this also really reinforces this corner. I know I keep bragging about this thing, but I really like it. At first, you know, it was something that we weren't really happy with. It was kind of, sometimes we try things and go out a little bit, drink a little bit of wine, and then we come back and try something better. And we think that was a big improvement. It also created a great spot as a signage opportunity, so we thought that was part of the reason for that whole element. Closer in look, this is looking again south along Tyndall towards our townhomes. Again, something about this building, there's some really cool three-dimensional characteristics about it. For instance, we brought the vertical elements and wrapped them back, and I think that's going to be a really powerful element when you're walking down the street and seeing that, and that's the kind of thing of a building, a good building, there's little things about it that surprise you in a good way, and I think that's the kind of thing that does that, and I think it's doing it here. And again, with a lot of contrast against what's below. So a lot of subtleties we think that have been baked into this as we've continued along with the design. This was one of those new images also. And also there's lights down here also. I just wanted to point that out. So there's light wrapping around Washington building. Looking north along Tyndall towards Speedway, looking at north northwest from across the street. So this is the garage entry point. So cars go down the ramp here, cars go into the, and they'll come out from that location. That goes down to the underground parking. There's only 29 spaces there. Not going to be a lot of activity. Those cars are mostly there. If you saw those things move in and out 20 times a day, I'd be highly surprised. And then there's an entry point for the 24 parking spaces on grade. Those pull out through the alley, which we widen by 5 feet. We'll see that a little bit more in the plan, but that gives you an idea of what's happening there. As part of the setback requirements, we need 25% on this elevation, so we provide that with an offset here. And that's kind of a nice thing because the building here is out, and then we step back. So I think as you see those, you're going to see those buildings kind of working together with that setback between them where they're, you know, more along the face of the building. And this was one of those new images also.
And we did a lot of images on Tyndall, kind of based on that feedback that you wanted to see how that street pedestrian area in Tyndall was going to look visually. We'll show in a little while kind of the functionality.
That shade structure, is that on Speedway? Or is there a shade on Speedway?
That looks like it's on Speedway.
Can we get back to that? I'm sorry, which
one? Not that one, but the white one, right?
Yeah.
One more.
Yeah, it's Speedway.
That's Speedway.
There we go. I'm sorry, which element were you asking?
On Speedway, not Tyndall.
So you want to make
I was confused. You're a couple more.
I'll go one. Okay, so.
One more after that, I think.
Yeah, so this is that further to the south. That's Hub 2, and then you're seeing that building in the background. Which is, I think, kind of a neat thing when you see that stuff down. Is that the one you're
right.
talking about?
Look, and
there's a close-up of the
structure.
Okay, yeah, I'll get to that. There's canopies at the entry points. That's what those are intended for. Is the north side of the building, the shading canopy is not really a... They're really more of a thing to emphasize the entry to the retail for us. One thing that's a little different from what we do, first thing we had brick pavers, and I think somewhere along the line in Tucson, in our second project, that became concrete at the request of the city. Mm-hmm. So that's where you're seeing that. So, yeah, you'll see, I'll go to that. So there's that canopy, and I think you were talking about. So that's just at our corner, you know, so it's a covered area on our corner entry.
There's one that goes along Speedway.
Yeah, I think I'll get to that next. Right, so we have, assuming that there would be two retail tenants, there would be a canopy at each one of those as an emphasis for the entry area.
And then just flush, there's no shade along this street.
Other than that, so, right, that is correct. Again, as the north elevation, I think that's probably appropriate. You know, it keeps the building back a little bit. I think that brings it out to the street more. And in this case, I don't think we wanted to do that. But you do get, you know, a good sense of that setback up there.
How wide's the sidewalk from face to curb to the...
It varies, but at certain points it's as much as 20 feet. As it gets to the corner, it's almost 30 feet. I think it's 22 feet.
22
feet. Most of the area.
And that's what was in the main gate overlay, right?
Yes, yeah. And we're well behind... We're well behind the property line to satisfy that by, like, 10 feet.
Yeah, that's where it was.
So we're way back. So this is looking a little, south and to the west. So that's that corner where the setback is where the transformer element is. Mm-hmm. And then along the street, I think this gives you
there it is.
There's the two canopies with all the setbacks. I think it's the right setback, and this is some opportunities outside for outdoor seating, which I think
was
great. Yeah, and it gets even wider along here, so there's some great opportunities for that. That would be wonderful if that ended up going that way with the retailers. So that's kind of where we're at with the design now, and I think we touched on many of the DRC comments that we had talked about. So then what we've created sheets. This is the first thing that... So this is the design that satisfies the requirements based on the setback zoning. 12 feet above the second floor for 75% of the storefront. So what we don't like about this is that you have an element that's retail, then residential's out here, then residential's back. It's kind of trying to figure out what it's doing. And I don't think anyone, including us, feels that this is where we want to have big terraces, but if we had that setback, we're going to have terraces there. And I don't think anyone wanted that. The other thing from a planning standpoint, now we have a different unit here, and then we have different units above. For a small building, for a relatively small residential building, we have all sorts of offsets, different plans. It just, from a planning standpoint, is a little bit of a difficult nut to solve properly for this building. So for a lot of reasons, we didn't think it looked very good. We didn't think it worked all that well, and it created an element that none of us wanted. So... I guess you know how I feel about that.
Jeff, there's one thing I also wanted to add. Kelly did a nice job of going through the requirements for the step back. But the intent, actually stated in the main gate, is that the step back should kind of not create a building that looks sort of ominous or impending onto the street front, right? And to provide light and air, which... Speedway is 120 feet wide, so I don't think that's really a concern. But when we did these renderings, we sort of looked at, especially that bottom right-hand rendering, it imposing was the word that I was looking for. It makes the street street level that makes the building look more imposing. And when we pulled back to our design now, I think we've separated that and made the street level look, sort of set it apart and not have the upper floors look imposing.
I think this setback is more applicable for taller buildings where you're up and then that building, you know, it's an eight-story building or something. So I just don't think for a four-story building it's really intended for that. It's maybe a little bit of a misnomer in the way the code is written for this particular site anyway.
You also mentioned, Jeff, that the terraces or the balconies, well, now with group dwelling you can't have balconies. So what it created was this sort of ideal balcony space that we
just
couldn't
point.
Use. So
then we have to waterproof.
Yeah.
And then this was the initial design that you saw, so this really didn't satisfy, you know, didn't address the setback requirement. You know, there's a nice break between the elements, but it doesn't differentiate as much as the version that we're proposing now does. So from a design standpoint, this is certainly not as good as the way that kind of separates those two uses, the retail elements and then the residential above. So that's kind of the three, you know, what we're proposing, I think it's the best from a design standpoint, and then, you know, the one that satisfied the requirements, and then this one, which didn't really, but this is kind of where we started. And then,
And this is what you see. This is our...
Right, and then, so this is where we're at. Now, the corner, we continue to evolve, but really, the point of what we're looking at here is this element and how that works in relation to right. The zoning. I think the important point is that we've done this in a way that makes more sense, where we take the setback all the way down at the second, at the, above the first floor instead of above the second floor, as was, you know, part of the zoning requirement. So we think it really is it does what really the zoning intended to provide a setback that made sense in the building, and we think that it really makes sense here.
And we included in the packet a letter that details the what we're basing the best practices option on. We looked to really three design guidelines to come up with this setback, to really justify the setback. Two were from Portland. One was a central city design guidelines from Portland. That and in Emeryville, California, which is it's near Oakland and Berkeley. It's a smaller town, but it's an urban town because it's in a pretty high dense area. Both of those design guidelines really stressed the step back starting at above the first level in order to really separate that pedestrian area, kind of give it its own sense of place, and then allowing the upper floors to be sort of, you know, separated from the first floor. Then in another design guideline we referred to from Portland is an area called the East Bank. Its design guideline looked at the depth of setbacks, and it recommended that a 2 to 5 foot setback is enough to provide us that separation. So, based on those design guidelines and those codes, that's what we're justifying and what we're basing our request on.
You got a message up there, does it say?
Okay, there we go. So now we're talking about the adjacent properties, and obviously it's a different scale of a building, but there's some elements that we liked about those buildings that we were thinking about as we were doing ours. There's very interesting pier elements. These are out of stone. They're kind of very residential in character, but very cool vertical elements that we saw as we were kind of looking at vertical elements in our building. Obviously, there's, you know, some of the stucco, the character of the stucco, there's a lot of nice similarity. The colorization is very similar. The lower element, we looked at that and saw a lot of buildings that had, because it's such an indigenous color, a lot of this sort of color throughout. And that would be through the neighborhood, as we're seeing here. And, you know, a lot of these forms, so the forms of our building, we're seeing interesting things like that. A lot of interesting forms in these beautiful courtyard buildings, you know, in the surrounding areas. So we were thinking of those elements as we were looking at what we're doing here. And I think you see that you know, with the colorization, the texture, and modeling of a lot of the stuff of the buildings. You know, more of the same. The other element is we were, and we probably should have the other rendering, but there's a lot of this wonderful greenery when it's done properly, can't exist in Tucson, and we're proving that, I think, on our hub one out as working along the back of the building. So a lot of greenery, and that's an important part of our building, and it's part of the architecture, in particular along along Speedway. So important elements. And then we're just, you know, more of the same. You know, colonnades, vertical elements, canopies, canopy type elements used in different ways as we step back over the townhomes where we use canopies over the retail, continuing what we see in the neighborhood. And more of the same. A lot of colorization. Again, you see that lighter elements, double elements high, different sort of material lower with a more saturated color. And more of the same. More of the, you just see the elements. I mean, there's a repeat, I think, that really carries in a lot of these elements, even though they're different, you know, they're single family homes in a smaller scale. So we look around a lot, and we feel that there's a lot of consistency between the building we're proposing and what's surrounding us. So now moving on, this is a great image. You really see how this form-based code steps down, bringing the building down to Speedway. A neat thing about this image also is that you see how this building scaled as you go west along Speedway. The line of those university buildings are very similar in scale along, you know, the street and about the same place. So we think that's really a neat thing to see that in an image like this. We probably should have gone further up because you would have seen even more buildings that were of that scale. We just stepped down, obviously, to where the homes are in the 14-foot range. We used that as a point in the way our change in the first floor is very similar in height to that. It's within a foot or so of kind of the line of those buildings. So there is a line that carries through there. But I think this is an interesting illustration for everyone that lives here to see how these things, this is all coming down down towards the smaller buildings to the west. So we've taken shots from around the neighborhood. We placed the model of our building into these, you know, all these different areas. So I'm just going to walk through each of those. I think you all know the intersections pretty well. So first one from Speedway and Euclid. Again, you see this building, how it's down, you know, even more from the other buildings. Interesting seeing that along the street and along next to the existing homes. And then we're further back. Now we're at Speedway and First. You know, the way it steps down, again, we shouldn't take credit for that since that was the zoning. But it works. It's a good idea. So just barely seeing this. So this is from Euclid and First. You just see the top, you know, over the top of the homes, but you barely see that as it's back towards the opposite end of the plot. And then Tyndall and Helen, so we're back further to the north. Again, very interesting how this almost starts to blend in with this two-story home. That's just, you know, as seen in perspective, it really does bring the scale of the street down very nicely to this neighborhood to the north. And then here's this, you know, if we keep going, we're going to see these buildings of this scale along the street. So, again, that really supports why that was done with that farm-based zoning. And then just further back, I mean, we've been looking at some of the images like this. So this is further to the south along Tyndall, Hub 1, 2, next across the street, and then, you know, just coming back down.
You're behind the times. It's got a new name.
My wife tells me that all the time. Then, as you know, through from Park, you know, obviously you don't see it at all. Right. But we're just walking around the neighborhood. What do you see from the building? And then right at the corner, looking straight to the south down Tyndall. Again, the size and scale really does step up. So, going through the design, the scale, how it fits into the neighborhood, I might turn on the lights so we can see this, but I think we've talked a bit about the materiality. So there's two different sorts of ethos. And by the way, when I say ethos, we generally use the synthetic stucco. Because of the code requirement, this is a wood building, there is not a NFPA 285, there's not been a test done with a wood building with stucco, with synthetic stucco, but there has been with ethos. Ethos is really the same thing, except that it has the insulation, that's right, exterior insulation finish system. So that's why we're using ethos. The coating of those is really the same. If it's a stone coating, it's exactly the same product, whether it's synthetic stucco or it's ethos, so they will look the same. The ethos does give you the opportunities to do this kind of thing like we're taking advantage of. So we're not doing that. It actually costs more. That particular system costs more than the stucco system, but we have no choice. And then we went through a process on, up to going through that because we initially had the synthetic stucco specified, and we ended up having to change to satisfy that requirement of being tested for NFPA 285. So that, I just want you to understand this way when I'm saying EBIS, I'm saying that. So again, the materiality that we were talking about, the porcelain tile with the tungsten sort of look, that does extend up in that one element near the corner of the door. Again, these two different stucco elements, again, different darker with the sort of vertical elements, and then the more mottled character on the lighter stucco. Really, main elements of the building that you see repeat themselves. So this is along Speedway. So you're seeing again the same materials that were used. There's a couple of other ones that in here. So we have the perforated panel at the end. That's a product like that, but painted to match the porcelain, and then the glass element that you see in here. The lights prominent along the building, very subtle lights. They're not going to, there'll be something that are there for the quality of the light they create. They'll be very simple fixtures. A lot of glass, again, along Speedway. And then along the alley, these are openings, so I know we probably could have rendered that a little bit better, but those are setbacks where the loading dock is, where we drag through. But you're seeing, again, those elements occurring over and over again. So this is facing towards the south, really towards up to. So predominantly we're using that element, that the more model element back there, as it faces towards that building. Moving to the plans. So this is the lower level parking plan that we mentioned. It ramps down to this location here, over to the elevator, two stairs. There are 29 spaces in the lower level. Those would all be devoted to residential parking. Overall, I'll just talk about parking first. So then there's 23 spaces, so there's a total of 52 planned right now. The spaces up here, depending on the tenants, there's some flexibility of how many spaces would be devoted to residential. It could be a couple spaces. If it's something, it could be a little bit more. Having 52 spaces, we have 57 units. The requirement for parking is between 0.5 and 1. We're towards the high end. If we were to get 5 spaces to retail, we'd still have 81.81 per unit, so we'd still be on the high end based on the requirements. So from a parking standpoint, I think that we're doing pretty well.
Jeff, just to clarify, most of the parking on that level will be residential.
Right,
yeah,
exactly. And there may only be a couple of retail spaces. It really depends a little bit on who those tenants are. So I'm going to walk kind of around what we have on the first floor. So parking, we talked about access off of Tyndall, a one-way that gets you into this, and then you would continue through to the alley, and this is where we set that alley back 5 feet. The parking spaces that go downstairs would head down the ramp, and then they would come back the same way. We have set back the ramp 10 feet from the property line. We'll definitely have mirrors. We're going to make sure that people in the cars are seeing people walking by. We're going to make sure it's safe. But by setting it back was the first point, just the person's up, and then they're flattened out so that they'll have visibility. But we'll have mirrors and make sure that that all works out really well.
And a gate.
And a gate?
Just to stop them.
Well, maybe.
My own circumstances of coming out of the garage, there are lots of people who just, like,
Right, and that's why
try to hit the pedestrian.
We can do that.
No, you don't have to, but I'm just saying you need to understand that that is a challenge.
Yes, we understand. Again, I'll reinforce, you're not going to see much movement from here, not that they're not showing, but it's not like cars are going to be lined up. They're kind of there.
More than the street.
Right. Just one of the things, Kit, I was going to add something. When we initially met back in May, I think our total parking was at 44 spaces. So since then, you did a nice job to find 8 more spaces, I think mostly in the basement.
But we
have increased that. And then the other thing, this configuration where we can drive really from Tyndall and throughout the alley is going to be especially helpful at move-in time, because this is where the move-ins will be staged from, and it just allows for, I think, a natural flow for that time.
Right.
We're not going to use the loading zone for move-ins. It'll just be in this under the first level parking area.
Right. Mm-hmm. The loading, you could question the need of it for this much retail, but the zoning requires it to be provided.
Well, you'll need it.
I'm sorry?
You'll need it.
Right. So as we move around, 3 townhomes. So those are 2-story. They're recessed down. They each have that private terrace with landscaping that provides a little bit of privacy for those. And that's behind the street. We have our planters with benches, bike racks along here, and then the same elements along Speedway. So there's a continued element that runs through around the perimeter of the building with the landscaping and the planters and the bike racks, the benches. We did not put the benches up here. We wanted to make sure there's enough, you know, freedom for movement here, so we didn't feel that was a great idea. So in this building, after we get past these three townhomes, residential entry, lobby area, lounge, fitness. So there'll be a lot of activity in here. There'll be a leasing office in that location. Then the elevator up to the upper floors. Service space that gets you back. There's service space then back behind the parking and bike parking also. We have, I believe, 40 spaces here, and then we have more in the basement also. And then the retail space I was mentioning, it's 4,430 square feet exactly. And then service spaces, the transformer area, mechanical spaces, trash room. So the trash from above drops in here, and then it's waiting, you know, for the trash. And that will be used for trash, obviously, in addition to whatever retail deliveries are required.
And just one other thing, you mentioned that the alley will be 20 feet. At this point, we're not dedicating that. We're just taking that extra 5 feet on our property and widening the alley so the traffic that exits the alley to Speedway will have less impact on the neighbors to the west and just gives a safer travel lane.
And really, we're helping any trucks that are moving through the alley. It does neck down here, but we felt that it just made sense for us to make it a little bit wider here. So I think that's kind of covered what we're doing here. Movement, it was important to us, movement with the other buildings, so this is the entry point for us. The building across the street, there are entry points right here. There's also a pull-off behind the retail over here. There's an access point over here. There's one over here for Hub 2. We're around the corner for Hub 1, so there's no access. Two-way street. Two-way street over here. Two-way street up at Speedway. And then our movements, again, are through here. So people, they'll move through and around to the alley if they go up to the parking on the first floor. Then as we get up, so this is a typical residential floor. It's an interesting thing. There's almost like outdoor courtyards and walkways. So you see all this landscaping. So this is the walkway around what will be the second floor, the first residential floor. It's 4-bedroom, 2-bedroom, and 1-bedroom units scattered throughout the floor. So landscaping on this floor, and there are some internal courtyard elements on the building. None of them face towards Tyndall or Speedway. They do face internally, and then there are 3 that face towards the south.
Nice.
Only on that floor. As we get up the building, this cool thing, these are walkways, almost like I'm not sure the best way to describe them there, but they're walkways that open down to below, so there's light that pours through. These units that we plan here are entirely different than the units we've done in the other buildings. There's light on both sides of the units, so they're far more compact and efficient because they have light on both sides, mm-hmm. as opposed to a conventional building that has a corridor and there's light on the outside. So there's these little ports with this light that will pour down in between and provide this additional natural light within these units. You look down over the side of the railing here, which will be a tall railing, and you'll see landscaping and things down there. So this is going to be, it'll be a building that really has these outdoor spaces, but there's a lot of shade because of these walkways. So very interesting, an outdoor space. I think that the people that move there will be surprised by how cool it is and how different it is from other buildings in the area. And then Rory was talking a little bit earlier, we were able to nestle the pool really in the center of the building, so the people here have no idea that the people are out here and vice versa. We think that's pretty important with the store development. I understand that they generally close these pools around 10 o'clock. I know that that's always a question, but we kept it away from really nestled in the middle of the building over that building that was in the center. So it's over this top of this separate little building. And we've created a little bit of a passage over from the elevator into that. So that's simple. This building will have condensers on the roof, just like we have in the one next door. So there's actually mechanical equipment on each side. So there's going to be a little bit of a white noise up there. So that sound that's happening here, I think, will actually be muffled just naturally by this equipment that's going to be surrounding it. Kind of interesting, the sections of the building. So lower level parking, first floor, the fitness and retail in the front, and then there's these buildings that, like I said, these little buildings that are separated by these walkways above, so 1, 2, 3 levels, and then the top of this is 53 foot 9 inches, so we're below the zoning requirement. I'm looking the other way, so that's those townhomes. If that wasn't clear how they step down, so they're a little bit lower to allow the height to work, and there's 3 of those townhomes. Each of those are 5-bedroom units, actually. And then there's 57 beds and 18 units on each of these floors. The footprints of each of those floors are exactly the same. Part of what that helped, you know, not, if we were not to do the underlying zoning requirement with the 12-foot setback. So that helped us quite a bit. And then, so we're cutting across east-west on this one, trash, alley, all these elements, and then the other parking. So, as always, we look at the shadow studies and the difference, the summer solstice, the spring and fall, and then the winter. The shadows created by this building are extremely modest in the summer. In the summer months, barely even touches the homes to the west. Spring and fall, it gets a little bit longer, but really, even at its kind of greatest point, it doesn't cast much of a shadow on those buildings. Very little as it gets long into the day, just into the street in the evening. So the shadows are fairly modest in that building. In the winter, there are some additional shadows, but they really go more only into the street in the earlier months, or in the early part of the day. The shadows that come from the other buildings are already over these buildings, so this one's just adding a little bit that goes on to Speedway. It really doesn't add much more than what's already created by some slightly taller buildings. Material board, I think we can just look at the real thing. But So I'll talk a little bit more about that. Again, this is this EPIS element that has same character as a corrugated siding. So we have that up in twice, but this one has obviously a much more toned down texture to it. I don't have a piece of that corrugated on here, but obviously I think everyone knows the shape will be very similar to this, but it's a little bit more shinier in character. We'll have a matte finish on it, but it's still a little shinier. This is the element we're talking about, the tile that has that sort of tungsten steel character to it, and then the other stuff of color. So that's the color, the lighter color we'll use. We couldn't get this in a darker color, but it will be, it's almost like a, just a deepish gray. That's the color that we're intending for this element. And then we're just showing some of the color of the window frames in the residential. We'll use more of a aluminum sort of color for the retail glass. I mean, this is the elements that we use for railings where you see them, for instance, at the transformer and other elements in the building. So that kind of, those are really the main elements in the building aside from the fretted glass, which is kind of an important element also. So I talked about the landscaping, really a carrying on of the materials that we've used in the street for the other projects. The street trees will be the same, the Palo Verde and then the same shrubs and ground cover elements. So all the same kind of things. Right. And then we have those we have those materials called out for the streetscape, for the plant. So this is along Tyndall. Again, seeing those benches and the bike racks, the texture where we have the accent paver downstairs.
And that's in the lobby to the, or the patio area of the townhouse?
Right, and that's separate. And then there's shrubs that provide a little bit of a barrier from the sidewalk. And then along Speedway.
How many trees are along Speedway?
Four. So we're separated by the bus stop, and then we have two on either side.
Oof. You know, I know it's facing north, but you're going to get a lot of northwest sun mm-hmm. really bearing down on that retail. I'm just, you know.
Mm-hmm. We could look at
it. It might be good to increase it. You know, it's an easy way to do it without a structure plus good looking, but
sure.
I don't know.
We can look at
this. There's pros and cons. You know,
look at the spacing.
About the trees, and we have to trim them at the main gate to watch the retail so we don't block the retail, but yet there's a quid pro quo there. But that's sticky, you know, it's just sticking out there, and the northwest sun is brutal.
It does get dark.
And if you walk along some of the other retail across the way, mm-hmm. it's horrible. I mean, it's just the sun is.
Yeah.
Deadly, and so most people don't like to walk on Speedway, and you really want to encourage people to come there, I think, if you want to be successful.
So that's just for the benefit of the project. I'm not,
we can look at that. I mean, we can see what, how closer
we might want to look at that.
You know, see what the city would accept with that.
Right.
We're open to that. And then the plant materials above, so this is all internal except for this, you know, entire band of this ground cover material that we have, you know, facing out that'll hang over the more residential level. And then we have a list of, this is all the zoning elements. Can't see it yet in the book. We feel we're meeting all the zoning requirements with the exception of the setback requirements. So that's the one that we've all spent a lot of time talking and thinking about.
Matt stayed up really late to write all this.
Not much bigger, but a little. But this is the design standard compliance elements that we were complying with. So we've exceeded the requirements and the amounts that are required. But that's something that we've definitely bought into and have exceeded the base requirements. And then
we've done quite a long time. I just want to briefly cover some of these management operational issues. But if you have specific questions about any of these, Eric is probably better equipped than me to answer them. Regarding communication at construction, we'll reach out prior to the beginning of construction to neighbors in the area, usually within 300 feet of the project. To provide the on-site project manager and other project manager information. So if there is any issue, there's somebody that you know who to contact immediately. If we need to do anything like an overnight concrete pour, if the construction timing requires that, then we'll go through the city's noise ordinance process for that. That includes additional notification to neighbors on who to contact, when it's going to occur, all those kind of things. So that will be part of the construction. At opening, we'll go through sort of a similar process where we'll give you the information of the on-site management contacts. So if there's any issues, you'll have that for easy access. In the move-in process, we talked a little bit about that. This design actually, I think, will help with the move-in process. We'll also coordinate with the other hub projects, and hopefully by the time this is open in 2019, there may be a little bit more coordination with more projects in the area, overall coordination, we can't guarantee that, but we can definitely be a part of that if it's in place and try to promote that. Resident security being on Speedway, we definitely have a concern about security. We'll have controlled access security cameras on the property. And then resident conduct, similar to other projects, provisions in the lease that require students to behave, to not have drugs, alcohol, do illegal activity. We can enforce those provisions. We will, at move-in time, kind of take that opportunity to go through those requirements as well. We said we'd provide those management contacts if there are issues that you'll be able to know who to contact if there's an issue. And that's it.
Should I do the last few?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
So, we are open to questions. Rick, if you want to,
First of all, I want to say the way that you've developed the massing, the best design alternative to, the 12-foot setback, really excellent. I really like the way that's developed. I do have a slight concern, though, on the west side and the vault that kind of looks like a mass, almost like a pillbox. Maybe we could look at that some more. You have this tall, elegant frontage that's going along there. But then I know you were just trying to figure out how to deal with that in a utility sense. But I think it needs to be looked at to be more in line with the rest of your design. The west elevation, we really didn't see a lot on that. I'd like to see how that relates to the resident next door, because the building is really imposing on that house that's on the corner.
And that'll have, there's an elevation that has similar characteristics to the probably to Tyndall, because it's a residential elevation. Below, to be perfectly honest, it's loading and mechanical spaces, and it is, across the alley. So that one's pretty austere, but I think a lot of the character is similar to the other sides of the building.
Yeah, I just saw the one elevation.
Right.
Yeah.
So maybe look at how that specifically imposes the historic building to the west of it.
Okay.
In fact, we might want to see something on the landscape of that alleyway. It might be helpful to introduce some landscaping that kind of begins to look more like a regular streetscape. In regard to how it's affecting that residence. Now, maybe it's just landscaping. I know that's like a utility area.
Yeah. I'd be happy to do it. I just don't know how. The idea of adding the additional width is to allow it to be an area that's easier to traverse with trucks than with the cars. So. Let us think of that one. That's a little bit tougher just from a functional standpoint, I think.
Yeah, maybe if we could see how that works, how that's working.
How about on the other side of the alley, if we were to maybe consider some planting there on their property that we would donate to those properties?
I think they definitely need some kind of screening there.
Yeah.
They have this four-story building right up against them. Maybe some taller, more vertical elements, landscape elements that might help protect that a little better, and how that relates. I think that's probably the focus, the lack of focus I was seeing in the presentation. Again, I don't want it to take away. I think the other elevations are really effective. To really resolve that setback issue, it's much better than if we set it back 12 feet.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a sensitive area.
Yeah, nice.
I think that that's my primary concern in this latest presentation.
Okay. Does that make any sense? Is that something we could consider if we were to do something on the other side of the alley? It's we're providing some landscape barriers.
Depends on the future land use of the other side of the alley.
But even if it was just for now.
Yeah, if you approach the residents there, and maybe...
I think there's something in the main gate guidelines that require privacy or ensuring privacy for the residents in those historic structures, so something needs to be done to be able to provide that for them. I don't know how often the loading zone is going to be used or how often cars are going to go back and forth in the alley, but that's definitely some impact to those residences that need to be mitigated.
There's the privacy mitigation piece.
Mm-hmm.
Can you touch on that a little more now, or is that something you need to return to us on?
I think we probably would need to study it to look at it a little bit more. Yeah. I mean, it's from a standpoint of the loading zone. I know we're open to maybe some hours limitations on deliveries and that kind of thing. We've talked about the alley traffic and how that would flow. Possibly, I don't know that our intention. The alley's funny because you know our area we're adding that additional 5 feet to make it 20 feet wide, but it's a 15-foot alley the rest of the alley, and that's pretty narrow to function for two-way traffic. So I think from our project, you know, maybe limiting traffic going just north, which doesn't help the properties right to the west, but it does help the properties to the south on that alley. So I think those are some things that we want to look at and talk about.
I think it's more than circulation, though. You're going to have, you know, I think you mentioned the possibility of restaurants going into that retail space. You're going to have smells from garbage, mm-hmm. and you're going to have sound that needs to be dealt with that associated truck traffic, the service traffic.
Where's your grease trap?
I mean, you've got a house directly
across. Okay, so do we have our present location?
Right now we're looking at putting it in that building area.
The grease trap?
Yeah.
If that ended up being a restaurant, those retail spaces, they would have their own trash room. So we have one here that's for the residential trash, and that goes into a compactor that's pretty controlled. You know, they would have their own somewhere in here, and then they would contain it here and wheel it out for trash, you know, when their trash is coming. So they wouldn't just have things thrown out here for sure. That's not how that would end up being. They would have loading or trash back in this area over here. As far as black iron, I mean, that's something we would have to consider depending on who comes in, but more than likely we would go to the alley with that, go sideways.
And in that corner where the transformers are, I mean, is that, you need that entire space to each extent. There isn't any room, like as Rick was talking about, trying to do some screening, like there isn't any room to actually keep your 5 foot alley, you know, widening and then take a little extra in that space where you could put something along, you know, that sort of metal screened and then tiled face there. I'm just, as far as Rick's suggestion about landscaping.
You're talking more about above, are you, in this area, than this?
Well, I'm actually talking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at it.
You were too, Matt, right?
I mean, it doesn't look.
I thought Rick was talking
like
about ground level.
Yeah, I'm talking about the ground level.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
Matt, to answer your question, we base the size on what we've done in the last two. So, if we can make it smaller and do that,
we're thinking about like shrinking it back a little bit, you know, away from the west. As a possibility to provide some kind of screening there. I realize you need the access in above it. That's the only way you can access the transformers. I realize that you need that entire column open above it, but as far as doing something on the side of it to help, you know,
to help soften that mm-hmm. corner, because I think you know, Rick's point was what I was thinking right. from you know mostly right. too. We didn't really see a whole lot on this west right. side. You know, you have a lot of renderings that focus on the you know the northeast corner. The northwest corner is kind of, you know, we're not really seeing what's going on there very much, and certainly down the alley, that's a possibility to help soften that. I mean, I realize it's a utility space, that's where mm-hmm. it's got to go, but what can we do with that? I mean, even from the Speedway side, it's like, well, yeah. it really ends up kind of calling it out in a way that it
I agree
kind of makes
you.
It a little bit more prominent.
I agree with you.
That was my first reaction to it.
But I like the 3 foot step back element. I mean, I think that actually works for you know as far as that part of the building goes. I think that works well for what you're trying to accomplish here.
I was looking more, you know, in Hub 2, we used some panels that were decorative that I think came out really well. And those are all next to the townhomes, and I think it turned out pretty well. Let's play with this a little bit more. I think that we can definitely.
You know, go ahead, Matt. You might have something.
I was just going to say something that it makes it look like it carries more in with the you know with the retail space or something. Doesn't make it stand out so strong.
Right.
And the west side that Rick brought up, you know, that when you're coming down, which is obviously a lot of us. Most every one of us is in the area almost a lot. But you're coming down Speedway going east, which is the heavy traffic, and you're coming up going south on First Avenue, which turns into Euclid. You know, that's really what you see. You see a lot of that. And if the Hub 1 and 2, that's you see a lot of, you know, that's the viewpoints you see. So I think that's a really valid point that Rick brought up, because that's what you're going to see. And the buildings next to it right now are, you know, fairly low. So that's going to be a major viewpoint.
Right.
The traffic is
kind of makes that viewpoint a little bit more utilitarian.
Yeah, exactly. With that going south on First and then going east on Speedway.
Right. Well, you know, even elements like this, I think maybe we'll pull back a little bit on this view. But we could do that same thing with those elements and bring those in so that you're seeing it, you know.
Yeah, so that was really effective on the east side.
Yeah, right.
And we can do more with this. This just, I get, you know, it's a little bit, I mean, it's kind of a cool product, but maybe it's just too different from what we have here. And maybe the color of it should be.
It looks like a crate.
A little different.
I like the product, but it's like Matt said, it, you know, maybe.
It looks like it's holding a transformer.
Maybe.
Yeah, they never came out of it.
Maybe below the fascia, it changes or something.
Right, I mean, exactly.
Jeff, you know, you do a great
your
job.
Your ideas are.
Yeah, it could change, so it's just not sticking out there. Except where your eye goes. Your eye doesn't go to the retail.
I'm sure that the you know the rendering kind of does that a little bit here, but
yeah.
Well, even if you,
but my eye's not going to the retail.
The mullion line, you continue that though. You're
right.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't
continue that.
It doesn't have the same elegance that you have on the other two elevations.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing we probably
becomes a lot more brutal along that whole side.
We could probably throw on the side here. I think these ones are going to be operable, but we could throw vines up that thing too.
Yeah.
You know, because we have the viney elements going up, or the ground cover things hanging over. That you can get, you know, you don't need much depth in the soil. It's harder when it's up in the air when you're doing it. You know, we definitely, you know, you take a foot out of that for a planter and get that stuff going right away. You train it up the thing, and it'll come
right.
Except it's west, and, I mean, I guess.
Yeah,
you can get the vines. That one will get a little bit of shadow from the buildings next door, you know, until. but it's real soil there. You know, we can put 4 foot deep of great soil, you know, along with the irrigation to make that go.
So we'll look at redesign of that. And then, I guess, Matt, to your point, also maybe looking at what's right around it for landscaping and things to soften up that corner. I think one thing we've had some conversations about is we want to make sure that we don't encourage people to walk down that alley for safety, and that's so there's just a vehicle access point. So maybe doing some landscaping that would direct people more towards
Tyndall
or Speedway at first. Or at Euclid.
Can I ask a point of information?
Yes.
What is the procedure? Do we make a motion with all the points we brought up and then have another meeting? Is that the procedure?
So, because Thank you for asking that question. There's actually, there are two motions that we would like to get from you tonight. One is the decision on the design piece. You have the option for approval with conditions, and the conditions could be that they come back to you with these items, or you continue with the list of items before you make your final approval, and then, of course, there's the denial. So that would be for the design piece. The second item that we would like to get a motion on is actually the step back, and that would be a recommendation from Rick as a design professional and the chair and your committee to our interim director, Scott Clark, to make the final decision on that. In this scenario, he felt that it was important for the design review committee to make that recommendation, as it is located in the first in area one. And so the language that you choose, that you select today, would be fairly important on that for him. So two motions, the first on the decision, on the design, and second would be on the massing.
I have some lighting questions. Since these projects have been built, I've talked to people who have students here who stay here when it's not, like it's Thanksgiving, and the projects are technically closed, but the people can live there, and it's very dark, and there's no, the lights that are usually on in the offices and the fitness rooms aren't on, because it's technically closed. And so all the ambient lighting that's supposed to be lighting the pathways for safety and security, at least how I understand this, I'm speaking with, you know, people who have told me this, are not doing that. And the historic lighting that exists barely in those areas is not adequate. And from a management standpoint and a walkable area standpoint, how did we address lighting in the overlay? Because in the main gate area, we've added lighting. I mean, we did a special assessment, and so there's a lot of lighting there. But there's really not a lot of outdoor lighting. And if you're shutting down, I don't think you should shut down the lighting, is I guess where I'm going with this from a management standpoint. So maybe that's a question for you, Eric.
Yeah, I think something different about this project for us is our amenity spaces are going on the ground floor. On our other projects, are on the upper floor. Those are the gym and the lounge, computer lab is 24 hours. Yeah. There will be some lighting on at all times. Same thing with the lobby. Retail, obviously, with floors. And then along Spindle, you have the three residences. I think Jeff specifically added some outdoor lighting to, you know, from when we met. Obviously, can't have just floodlights like pointing down. I was trying to do something that'll fit in with the architecture and not be too dramatic. So we definitely hear your point loud and clear. I think the programmatic differences will help with this.
I think Hub 2 is where you have an issue, maybe, and if you have one because of the vacancy in the retail, and that can happen again. We all know that.
Right, and Hub 1, right. The retail's all vacant, so that's that whole stretch.
Right, exactly.
Hub 2, it's the townhomes, which, you know, if the lights are on, they're on. If they're off, they're
sure
on. And
right.
Just has a little lobby entrance there. That's really the only light.
So that's a point to bring up.
For this project, though, I think we're addressing it with those the additional lights on Speedway and Tyndall, the downward.
Yeah, and I didn't really.
We didn't do a good job with the.
We didn't do a covering of that in your presentation.
Right.
It was sort of alluded to that.
Yeah.
I want to have it better explained.
Mostly about making sure it's not spilling onto other properties and fully cut off.
Yeah, it was.
There's
shielded.
So where
there's two pieces. There's C19 that discusses light strategies. Some shall minimize glare and light trespass, conserve energy, and promote safety and security. So that could be something that should be considered.
Right.
And then all area lights, including street lights and parking area lights, shall be full cut off fixtures. So that specifically talks to our dark sky ordinance.
Right.
And then C19A. point I discusses the street facade building and building facade. Item five discusses a distinct architectural lighting element. I think that one is a little bit of a stretch, but maybe we could point back to the first design standard that I mentioned as the safety piece.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would be the
just
right
to,
one.
Just to point these out, we added this after our meetings with you in May, but there's on Tyndall, there's two sconces. This area is difficult because of the recessed townhouses, but then there's also, isn't there lighting underneath the townhouse? And it's on the ceiling? Or is it?
I don't know that we have that, but that's actually a good idea. And those can be, all those exterior lights can be on photo cells combined with a timer. Mm-hmm.
So are these on Tyndall?
So this is on Tyndall.
Okay. And so Speedway is like.
So, yeah, and then.
The red.
Just on Speedway.
Rather.
Yes.
Speedway, there's more of an opportunity. So.
I mean, it's the light. It's
so how many are there? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven of the.
Right. Go back. Can you go back to the single?
Yeah.
I think that we should have sconces, and they just set lower.
So we'll just address that when you come back, yeah.
So we'll add those in there. I think it's an outdoor area. It wants to have light. Those things are all, they're not controlled by the owner. They are, the occupants of those units, they're on, the lights come on when it gets dark. Mm-hmm. And I find the best strategy is using a photo cell and a timer together to make sure that they don't get
I think we've actually addressed it.
I think you have, but I'm bringing it up as a larger question for the city to consider as we move forward with this overlay, that there may be some modifications that we need to make to make it work.
Year-round.
Year-round.
I make a motion that we accept the
requests.
Oh, excuse me, John. I was just dealing with a setback.
Oh, okay.
Nothing else.
One is a clarification, and I've got 2 points / concerns. Carolyn, you said our ruling, our thing is a recommendation to the director.
On the setback.
Set it to 12 feet up there.
Right.
Yeah.
The setback is a modification.
Yeah, but in this area, sub-area 1, don't we either deny or approve it? Isn't what the DRC says, I mean, that sticks, since it's a request for relief from that, and it doesn't go to the director?
So there's 2 pieces to that. The way the code is written in this area is kind of a roundabout. And so the first one is that you go to directly to the director if you have a kind of a setback issue in general. The second item allows for the design review committee to make the decision. And so in order to ensure that we're covering all our bases with this, we're requesting both. To have the decision by the design review committee and have the approval recommendation to the director
for
the setbacks,
just the setbacks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But I think Johnny's right. Like this as a larger admin element of this part of the DRC. Really, if we said no to the setbacks as this committee, then it would just be a no. The director couldn't then.
You would have to go through an appeals process.
Right.
That's correct.
Okay.
And then I guess I can read this again, for clarification.
Can you read B2D?
Yep. Or B.
One and items 1 and 6.
B2D.
Okay.
So I was going to read D4B, but B2D 4 and 6.
There's B2D. And there's E2D-1 and E2D-6.
Okay. So this is the review of the design standards. This is B-2D-1, The design review for projects developed under the MGD zoning option that are three stories or greater, adjacent to Speedway Boulevard or Euclid Avenue, or in Area 1, shall be conducted by the Main Gate Design Review Committee. All other projects developed under the MGD zoning option shall be reviewed by the city's design professional. Development of the projects in the West University Historic Preservation Zone and other contributing properties as defined in Section C1 outside of the Historic Preservation Zone in the University West University National Registered District and or any properties that may become individually listed in the National Register of Historic Properties shall be subject to additional design review as provided in Section C18, Historic Preservation. So that's D1. And then D6 is what I read earlier about the DRC or the design professional recommendation shall be advisory to the director, and the director shall make the final decision on the project's compliance with the MGZ. But in the case of Area 1, the DRC shall make the final decisions on compliance with the development document and on any special procedure noted in Section D. The DRC may add special conditions to an approval to assure compliance with the intent of the MGZ, and appeals to the DRC decision may be in accordance with the Board of Adjustment. So that brings me to the Section D4B, the Special Bulk Reduction Plan. The Design Review Committee may approve a Special Bulk Reduction Plan using setbacks and other criteria for buildings along the west side of Tyndall.
Yeah, so that's what I was clarifying. It sounds like the board makes a decision, mm-hmm. not the director.
Kelly, can I just... our request for the setback modification is from B3, which is an urban design best practices,
yeah,
which the director has the approval of, but you're right, the DRC in this case has the overall design approval.
Yeah.
So I think what the director is asking asking us to bring this to you is, in the end of the day, you approve the whole project, including what this urban design best practices would
right.
be.
That's what yeah. I
but the code says he approves it. So I think what he's asking for is it's a clunky section of the code.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
at the end of the day, you're approving it. He's just asking maybe you to consent to allow him to approve it.
Because
at the end of the day, you're approving the whole design.
So we just want to ensure that we have a support from all of those code sections.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense, but the way I interpret that is this board has the final
mm-hmm.
say on this thing, not the director. And if it's not what the applicant wants, they need to go through a whole appeal to the Board of Adjustments.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. That's how I took it the same way you did.
Okay.
Yeah. We vote on it and say we approve it or we don't approve
right.
it like that.
But in terms of how we would handle it, because they are asking for a separate vote on the step back element.
Yeah.
So it's the same. Basically, it's the same thing. They're asking for us just to vote separately on the step back element. I'm still a little confused as to why we would vote on that separately if we're approving the project. If we were to vote to approve,
but we probably wouldn't approve the project in its totality tonight. We would make it subject to the conditions
that
are there. But I think what they're looking for is maybe sooner rather than later the step back option be approved.
And the way we wrote it that way back when we all worked together and Chris left is when we did all that, we took that bulk reduction as a separate issue,
mm-hmm.
you know, instead of the overall project, because it's stipulated in there a few times, so that kind of makes it a little confusing.
Like,
yeah, I know
it's
you
It's
do.
Almost like asking for a variance from,
right.
the, from the MG.
That's
from
exactly.
The, yeah, the design.
Exactly what
right.
it is.
But,
yeah.
But as a variance, it could also just be part of the project. So I understand. So as long as I just want to make sure if we are wording an approval, that part of it is that, you know, because this is on Speedway, you know, some of that verbiage
yeah.
should be put in there. Like, this isn't just like, oh, we're just saying this is an acceptable setback that can then be applied
no.
across the board.
Only for this project
on Speedway.
We're looking at
this project, and because it's on Speedway, and it really does, you know, suit the best practices in this case, you know, something
the Tyndall sub area.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Case by case.
You did a good job with that. Like, you want to make that just a
lot of that. I mean, our request is
project specific.
No, you're right on.
Since we are calling this out separately, I just really like, is this a matter of protocol so that when you're looking at it in another case that,
This committee approved it, but
it might not look the same in the next project. And then now the director is looking at our past decisions for something that we did have control over, and then he's going to apply it to the subway site.
Exactly.
Like
that's a great point.
Right.
Yeah.
Which we know is coming next.
So going into my other two points or concerns is because this is the first project along the Speedway frontage, this sets the tone and precedence for anything in the future.
Right on.
And so I think extra care needs to be taken in the design of this to do it right and make sure it conforms to what it needs to conform with and treats. I mean, my two big things is the pedestrian experience along Speedway. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything enhancing that or encouraging people the way it is right now to walk along Speedway. There's no shade there. Mm-hmm. There's canopies just over doors signifying this is where you enter. But, you know, stand out there June 21st at 5 or 6 in the afternoon and get blasted by the low sun when it's 115 degrees out. You know, that's a big issue here in Tucson. Mm-hmm. You know, we all know that. So I like the thought that's given to the pedestrian experience on Tyndall, and I think there's a way that you might be able to echo that on Speedway, and maybe the relief for the bulk reduction isn't just a 3-foot setback, you know, past the first floor. Maybe take a look at doing the bulk reduction on the first floor and recess those spaces so you can get shade and provide that for the pedestrians, and echo some of the patios that you see in some of those existing historic homes that you've shown in your brochure. I mean, every example that you've shown here has deep recessed patios in those homes, you know, for shade and protection from the sun, and I don't see that here along Speedway. I mean, I think it's a big issue that a lot of design in this town doesn't deal with. The climate and the context. So, I mean, I think I'm not going to say how to do it. You know, I'm just think that it needs to be taken. Another stab needs to be taken at it, and more thought needs to be put into that Speedway frontage to make it a more friendly, comfortable, enhanced pedestrian experience.
Which would also could, to your point, if I may, I would think that you might disagree or agree. But it would also enhance what Jeff talked about as far as sidewalk activity. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I mean, especially if there is
really
a chance
cool.
that a restaurant goes
yeah,
in there
exactly.
and it's an outdoor patio.
Yeah,
nobody's going to want to sit out there.
Yeah, I was truly addressing it from the value of the retail and the retailer
right.
and how, you know, so it wouldn't be empty.
Right. So I would like to
make
see
the project better.
You know, some more thought put into that Speedway frontage. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, with our climate and pedestrian comfort in mind. My second point is, I know in your presentation in the brochure, you touch upon, you know, how you're relating to the historic structures next door and whatnot, but I see it only in, like, this material is like this, and this material is like this. I don't see it in rhythm and scale, continuity of horizontal lines. I mean, you have this one kind of bird's eye view showing the different heights and the stepping back. But what I'd like to see is, you know, I know you've gone to the site, done analysis, went around the neighborhood, looked at different structures, but I don't see any kind of studies showing, okay, well, this house has this rhythm of windows, doors, and all that that's reflected in that one, the Speedway frontage. And I think the west side is completely ignoring the historic context that it's adjacent to. I know there's a step back required on the west against the historic structures, and maybe that corner chunk above the transformer area is that bulk reduction. I'm not sure. But right now, I think it's completely ignoring that historic adjacency.
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit, it's a interesting thing when you're talking about bungalows in context with a building that's a different scale. So what do we have as tools? We have massing. I think there's a lot of massing that you see with buildings in the area that we, there's a lot of similarity. Definitely the materials. It's a little bit different with a rhythm when you're talking about one sort of a residential building and an entirely different one. So there is a, you can go too far with that and it gets kind of weird when you try too hard to mimic a building that's a different scale. And
yeah, I'm not talking about mimicking or copying. I mean, I think there's a way to do it without copying that. And can I give an example of a project? Mm-hmm. The Trinity project?
Yeah.
So if, I don't know if you've seen that, it's a development within the neighborhood, but the architecture team did a great deal of analysis of the context surrounding that project, and it's a new multi-use development in the middle of this historic district. And there is the complete assessment of existing structures nearby and, you know, in this radius or sphere of influence, where they analyze the rhythm of those existing houses and structures and incorporate that into the design. So you see that relationship. It's not copying it, and it seems like it works for that. I'm not seeing that here, and I would like to. I mean, I would like to see an elevation, the Speedway elevation, with the historic properties to the west, showing height, and, you know, what heights are you relating to? Is there a horizontal line that's continuous through that whole thing to try to tie things together? I mean, right now I don't see that. And I don't see the bulk reduction or the bulk step back on that west face that's required in the main gate.
We need the 25% by right. And same thing on Tyndall. Those both are 25% down to that same. Actually, we go further because we go down to the top of the first floor.
So it is that corner piece above the transformers?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then we have another step back, further back, about a third of the way back, we have another recess that between those two that meets that requirement and exceeds it because we go all the way down to the So there's another, this is another recessed element in here.
Okay.
And then that's, so that's recessed and that's recessed.
Okay,
that
so that's the 25%. That's where you're doing it. Okay.
Right.
But what I'd like to see is elevation incorporating those historic structures in there just to see what that relationship is and if there's anything that could, you know, this new design can tie into and be consistent with.
Back to the west side of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the same with the renderings. I mean, you've got a rendering, I think, from northwest, but it's pulled way back. And, you know, it's hard to see that what that relationship is.
It's really just like a photo of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think for sure that West needed more attention and needed to be called out.
Yeah.
Just to see it.
Can you go back to the east-west building section? To the, it cuts through the gardens on the recessed gardens on the townhome.
It was toward the end of the presentation.
Right there.
Right there.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that recessed garden element at the townhome is great, and that could be a nice space for pedestrians. I mean, maybe you take a look at the incorporating, not necessarily recessing it, but maybe those storefronts are pulled back from the street frontage so you can get more shade. Mm-hmm. In the brochure, you've got a picture of this big shade canopy along University Boulevard in the main gate that provides shade and demarks, you know, where the entries to the stores are. But, you know, it's, I don't see that here.
Yeah, done.
So, can you provide some initial studies of setting back in? I think you talked about it when we were with staff on it. You know, that wasn't, it didn't end up being your final design, but you did.
Which element?
On the off of Speedway.
I don't think we
never really
shared an elevation across the entire length. I think that's what
the building was talking about. In at the bus stop.
Which page is that?
Page 20. And actually, even the resident below it has having the, you know, the porch that would feel the element.
I mean, yeah, that, I mean, I think it can evoke the porches better.
Right. I mean, this is definitely an element that you would, you know, you could carry over for the townhomes kind of thing. You know, having that deep, you know, that deeper step.
I mean, if you're gonna ask to break the rules, like really break the rules, you know, make it try to treat it as an opportunity instead of okay, we're gonna step this thing back 3 feet. You know, after the first floor. I mean, I think you could create something that could really enhance and give back to the people using it and the pedestrians walking by.
Well, it'll make your retailers more successful.
Yeah, that's what I was considering.
Yeah.
Make it more usable. Do we all agree on the 3 foot, the way they modified that specifically for this project?
I don't.
You don't, on the setback?
He wants.
I can agree to some relief, but I don't think the 3 foot is it.
Oh, okay.
He wants additional relief.
Okay.
And that's what he's talking about now.
Yeah. But he's talking about relief
below.
Yeah, I meant right. Above.
I think.
Well, I think what he's saying is. Yeah. The setback is
so
8
make sure
feet.
Sure, I get it.
12 feet?
12
feet.
He's that below or something.
They used it one floor.
The 12 foot starts above the
second floor. Second floor, so they've used 6 feet in relief, is that?
No, they used three the first floor instead of 12 after the second.
Second.
Floor. Right.
But isn't
right.
that?
Yeah, now I'm asking John then how he. What are you.
I can agree to some relief in the step back.
Okay.
But he would like
well,
more.
Not necessarily above.
No, but you want more below.
I think there's an opportunity
to do it below.
To
also.
Do it below and create something
okay.
that's a better experience.
No, okay, so. I was
that. Yeah, that's a step back.
Or you don't require the step back. I mean that's.
Yeah.
I don't know what the motion is. I mean, this building is such small scale compared to the other one.
Yeah.
It's got the step back already
right.
in height.
We're talking about different things, aren't we? So this is the step back for what happens above.
That's the step back.
And then I think, John, your point is to create a better experience with the retailers, to make better retail with recessed, shaded areas,
yeah.
things
yeah.
like that.
Both.
That can be done as an architectural element in the as a design. That's somewhat separate from the. My sense is that this line continues, but what happens is setbacks happen below,
yeah.
and you may have some additional projecting canopy elements that tie in with that, but I think that happens, you know, from that line
down.
You know, this thing here, as it works, is very important to us from a planning standpoint. To step that back 4 feet would be fatal for us, to be perfectly honest. The units, none of those units were above, so it's pretty important. The configuration that happens up here.
Johnny, what you're saying is you'd be okay with eliminating the
step
back at 3 feet, bringing it out to the property line,
yeah.
basically,
yeah,
and doing something more creative below.
To enhance the pedestrian
experience. That increases shade and increases...
Yes.
Okay.
I would rather work towards what's below. I think that setback is important. I think it really creates this separation between the retail and what happens above.
I personally, I mean, I realize it's subtle, but I think that's one of the things that I do like about it. But I can, you know, I don't think that the two are mutually exclusive.
Right.
Okay.
It's not that you can't, like, you can't keep, you know, the 3 foot step back and then still work on the ground floor.
You're saying the same thing as I am.
To enhance it. I mean, I think that I kind of, I like... that there is, it creates a little bit of a dynamic with the entry corner,
right,
which in a way is kind of important, to call it out. But I mean, I get that on this space, especially from the audience perspective, it's, the setback isn't as important as the ground level experience. Mm-hmm. But I don't mind the setback. I think that works well.
Me too.
Can I ask a clarifying? It doesn't sound like anybody wants us to go beyond 3 feet, pushing it back. It's either 3 feet or push it forward more towards the street. Yeah. That's important from us from a functionality design standpoint. So I don't know if I'm asking you to clarify that.
No.
But it sounds like that's what I'm hearing, and I just want to make.
I'm recalling when we wrote all this up, because we went through all the stuff with Chris with the setbacks that went out there with him. I agree with Matt that we should have some setback,
Setback or setback?
Setback. Setback. Thanks. You're right. Setback above, and it's more appropriate in this situation after the first floor than after the second floor.
So I think what I'm hearing Johnny say is he doesn't want to vote on the setback tonight because he wants to
see the
come
whole thing.
Back.
That's true.
Yeah.
With the whole
right.
picture.
You know,
right.
I mean, I am okay with eliminating a step back in favor of
pushing forward to provide
back.
The shade that
right.
provides
yeah.
more
right.
experience.
Or both. Provide
or
the
both.
Shade,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
I mean, that's helpful because at least we know which direction we're going.
No, that's right.
Well,
that's important.
It's out or in.
Well, but it's not in anymore than the 3 feet.
Yeah.
We've got some...
If you think about it, in the pedestrian experience, the 3 foot step back actually relieves the pedestrian from having this overwhelming.
Oh, it's much better.
Yeah.
They're going to get a little bit overwhelmed.
Is the art building really overwhelming?
Well,
the architecture building?
Does it step back at all?
No.
It's
flush
what?
These.
All
but
what
it's also around. Glass, so that creates
the fine art?
Yeah.
The Capitol building.
But their Capitol building. But it's a different feel.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's the same experience.
But what are you going to do with that 3 feet? I mean, right now we're showing plants there. They're showing plants there.
Right.
Is that
I think the 3 feet isn't the importance. It's pushing that bigger building back to make it seem...
To have some relief.
To have some relief from that.
Yeah, remember?
Matching.
That, that's why we put that in there.
But I understand...
I don't think that's as big of a deal as... I mean, if you're creating a nice pedestrian experience, they're going to be walking under this overhang... And you're not going to see what's above that.
Unless you're on the sidewalk. On the sidewalk.
I like the relief from the street even.
It could be both. I don't know whether it's 3 feet or 12 feet. I mean, I'm okay with relief from it.
I was thinking we could get both, but we want on the shade and also get the step back.
But I'm also gauging it based on, it's not just like, this is going to be an experience just for the people who are walking there. I mean, I think that's important for sure, and we can, in that
driving
community.
Right.
But I think it's about how this building looks. I mean, coming from multiple different directions, there isn't anything in front of it. It's not like, there's all this context,
This is it.
There's a road. So, I mean,
But in providing that enhanced, comfortable experience,
I think that's
the theory is you're going to activate that,
right.
And it's going to make people excited.
I'm not arguing, I'm not talking about, I'm not against, activating the pedestrian level. I'm just saying for the step back portion, I actually think that lends itself, to the project from something other than just the pedestrian experience from the sidewalk.
That's where my mind's at,
If I'm across the street or I'm driving down, I'm going to see this building all the time.
We have a lot of height in here. We have there's a lot to work with here.
Yeah.
I think with what you're getting at, and we can do it with some setbacks, and we'll look at the depths that make sense. Also some projecting elements that kind of reach out into the sidewalk, kind of enhancing that experience. We'll look at the additional, and maybe some additional landscaping.
Right.
We're not going to be able to be in front of the
wonderful
transformer enclosure, but, we can look at that. So I think there's a handful of elements that can work together here to enhance how that all feels.
I really concur with both the shape, that's why I brought it up, but the step back, I'm really with Matt on that because that's what you see. And going north on First into Euclid and going east on Speedway, and you're really setting the tone for the whole area and, you know, the subsequent buildings that go along. And that's why we did that way back. You know, maybe we went too much going to the second floor and then 12 feet. But the point is that's so important as far as, you know, thousands of people a day are going to see that, and it's going to set the tone for the whole area. They're not going to pay attention to the other much larger square footage buildings as much. Their eyes are going to go right to that, and that's, I think that's key.
Well, and part of the reason I think that we're asking as a design team for some level of an approval on the step back portion, which is the modification from that one section tonight, is because if that is that step back piece, that second story step back in the way we're treating it, if that is not acceptable, there's a substantial redesign that needs to occur. I mean, I think what I'm hearing from everybody is that that step back is okay. What the concern is ensuring that whatever occurs at the pedestrian level, which is not the prescribed step, that prescribed step back is higher up on the building. And so what we're asking is to have it not be as much and to have it come down. Mm-hmm. If everybody's okay with that, it would be really helpful for us to have the assurance that with all the other conditions and all the other stuff that's going on, that that treatment of the building is considered to be acceptable. And then we need to work subject to working on all of the other
conditions. We're not approving anything. Yeah, we're not approving the overall project.
We can even create a motion that exempts the setback portion of it from this first decision.
That's why we were looking for the two separate motions, was to ensure that we're clarifying this piece.
But I think they still would like it. Johnny in particular, who's most impacted by this decision, to have it conditional upon addressing that.
Well, there's that and the historic.
And the historic, but that's, right. Exactly. Well, there's,
But I think we all agree on the 3-foot step back as long as it doesn't address anything else.
Subject to all of these other things.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm saying,
And I think I also wouldn't, I mean, I'm not asking for that step back to be bigger either. I don't think that it should be. I don't think that in this case it actually, I think the best practices, solution works. Here, it's like, oh, we just need more step back or anything. I think it actually works. It creates just a nice, subtle, exchange of dimensions. You have two sort of separate building elements that are very clearly distinct.
Isolated, and then come back to everything else.
So I'm okay with a step back, some scenario
modification to that.
We can approve the step back so that they can move forward, and then conditions for the remaining part of, that's a separate element, so we could look at that and move forward.
And then bring the project back right now.
But I think addressing all the issues Johnny wrote up. Johnny has here also said, well, how does it look with the step back?
What's the height of the where the step back starts?
That's 20.
So our floor is 16, plus we're up another couple feet, so it's probably
18,
about
19 feet.
Yeah. Okay. And do you know the heights of the adjacent residences?
About 14 feet. And that's about where we're at right here.
At the bottom?
Yeah.
Close to it. Right. I was going to say maybe you can use that. And I'm always saying this because I don't have an understanding of how this relates to the residences without seeing that in complete elevation. Maybe that point where the step back occurs is the same height as the top of the residence.
Well, that's where I was seeing that happening under here, because we have plenty of height to make that work.
Right.
And, seeing it there is good also. So I think that's the point where I see us playing around with these things. The canopies are at that elevation, or maybe those are even at this one. It's a little bit more intimate. 14 feet is a little bit high.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But you have that setbacks, I think, happen at that line, and that is the line that continues across.
Mm-hmm. Would that affect the interior height depth of the stores?
Because you could have glass above.
It may have a little bit of impact there. I think we would go all the way back. So you're carving out space.
Yeah.
Oh, are you talking about like the old-fashioned kind of retail?
You don't want to.
I think we're carving.
You don't want those ceilings too low. It won't work.
Based off there.
Yeah, it just won't work.
Yeah.
Underneath here. You'll have a soffit, right? You'll go underneath the soffit area.
Yeah. Those ceilings should be 16 foot clear inside. 15, 16 to make them work today's rental environment.
Right, so we're not impacting that. I think
empty stores.
We do the back and forth here, and then the trellis elements fit below. Mm-hmm. I think that can be a really cool three-dimensional element that really becomes fun. It has a lot of feel
100%.
To it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of how I'm seeing that kind of an adjustment.
You're saying the height adjustment would just be at the front edge. Inside, you'd still have the 16 feet clear.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you need that. You've got to have that.
All right, shall we attempt a motion, or is there any more discussion? You got everything out?
I got everything.
Okay. let me give it a shot here, and stop me if this doesn't sound like it's working. I request a motion for approval of the alternative setback design.
Step back
design that will allow the project Speedway step back to begin at the second level and recess 3 feet from the first level facade.
And this is not to set a precedent on any of the project on Speedway. If we could say that, please, back to Matt's point.
As a comment. Okay.
Right, as a comment, not,
so
you know, in the motion.
Everything will be reviewed.
Right.
Case by case,
right.
So is that clear enough for the motion, or do we need to restate it?
I know it's inherent to the process.
Are you good with that? Yeah. Should we have done the other motion first?
Well, is there a motion to the other one? There's a motion first. Well, I mean, if there's...
Well, this is basically what they're asking.
Yeah.
And right. No, that's for one portion. But the other
for one portion.
Right. The other motion would be, you know, approval with conditions, or denial.
So much comment, though. I think.
And so I wanted to
maybe
it's
just
that's
coming back.
Like, that's a comeback for those other elements, but they can still.
What if they're looking at it as they're looking at it, and the 3 foot needs to be adjusted?
That's right. That could come up.
Then, I mean, that's the issue.
At least
well, that's why I said I think it's subject. It needs to be subject
then
to.
Then we should just come back.
I think what we would want is to make sure that 3 feet or less, maybe. That
well, he.
So there's two on this item. If you make a motion for this, let's call it the layer cake option because that's actually what the main gate calls out. Should they refine their design so much for the next piece, then we would look at that again and see if that motion stands or if we need to repeal it and replace it or find some kind of alternative.
Repeal, replace, that's pretty popular.
I know. I'm sorry that I put that out. I'm sorry to use that.
We only talked about one area.
I wasn't in the alley.
What's that? That's the only thing we talked about that wasn't in the alley. We don't see that having an impact on what happens above. We're talking about finessing the retail to create a better retail experience, and I guarantee you we're going to make that happen within this area.
Well, I think Johnny also made a comment, however, about the west side not having appropriate. I mean, you've provided the relief.
It meets it,
but maybe it could be done in a more thoughtful manner.
Right.
Like I said,
that's different,
So we're going to look carefully. We have a bunch of elements to look at
there. But it's next to somebody's historic home.
Right. But none of those have to do with this.
What he's saying is, yes, we've got...
It has anything to do with the setback.
For the Speedway front.
Right.
The issue really is at the street level.
Right.
They just need to know that.
So are you okay with being stuck with a 3 foot step back? you don't feel like you may need flexibility as you're looking into
these
other...
I think entirely how we're going to handle that.
Okay.
I think when we come back, I'm just trying to give you some play if you need it.
My only concern is if we do need to recess the retail, we might need to pop out the property authorities back to make up for that lost revenue. I'm just being purely financial here.
Yeah.
As you should be.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's
so I think
a
the
revisit.
Words at 3 feet or less would help. I don't know if staying in the retailing is it. Is, I think Jeff got an idea. It'll probably work, but you know.
I don't know. That's such a strong element. I hate to see it pulled back out to zero.
Yeah, I'm with you and Matt on that. It's big. It's heavy. Thousands of people a day, that's what they're going to see.
But I think what we're trying to do in this is allow ourselves an escape hatch. That we voted on this based on them coming back with a successful, with addressing these other things successfully, but if they can't, then we need to be able to revisit the setback
right.
in the context of these improved pedestrian elements.
That's what
and
Caroline
the
was
website.
Saying.
Right. That's what I'm that's saying. The, I think we need
that's, a cake
that's
layer,
what we need.
Layer cake. Like.
So it basically comes back to the is it three or is it three or less? And with that it would be a matter of like we prefer to see the three, but then given how the residential level gets treated, if there's a suggestion that it come back out, maybe we could review it that way, but say, you know, say yes or no. Like it's, you know, no, we like it at the three. Or because we push this back here and the way the design works out, it, you know, it's a smoother transition.
It's 30 inches instead of 36.
Well, I mean, yeah, you could get into that, but I don't know.
You know, what if we said that setback will not vary by more than 1 to 3 feet? So there may be some opportunities there with a little bit of undulation in there, just as we're looking at what happens here may reinforce some of the things. That gives a little bit of a range, I think, but there is that agreement that the setback, you know, meets the best practices. Mm-hmm. That's another thing, that this has to somehow satisfy that, or else you're just not, you're not complying.
And our best practices went down to 2 feet. That code that we were relying on. So we've got some play there within our exist without going and finding any more.
One foot you wouldn't.
There was a project that Johnny mentioned earlier that Trinity Church actually uses 3 feet.
Right.
And they use the shade space underneath for their pedestrian circulation.
Mm-hmm.
So. Would you like to attempt your motion, or would you like to skip this motion and move on to the next, and then maybe circle back? That could
well,
be.
Well, like, I don't know. I'd like to know what these guys want in that just in that specific area, you know, just along Speedway. If that's how they'd like it worded, so they can, you know, you're going to be working on it, and I know you heard Johnny and me and everybody about the shade and all that. But
yeah. I'm just thinking that. You know, with what we do here,
you really want.
Keep in mind the retail's like here to here.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
60 feet or 70 feet
right.
in the storefront. But it may be that we frame that a little bit with what's above, and that's why a little bit of freedom on that might help.
Okay.
And I don't think it goes to 1 feet. It may, you know, in a building like that, a 1 foot setback actually has a big shadow and has a big impact. So I'm just thinking out loud with that. You know, maybe that plays in.
So what are you suggesting, Jeff?
That there's a range from 1 to 3 feet.
At the retail.
No, I'm just talking about
for the setback.
The whole
setback.
Step back. Along Speedway.
Minimum of one, a maximum of three.
Along Speedway.
Will it achieve the same effect with 1 foot?
I'm not saying that we even use it or that it's only used for a portion, you know, but it helps. I'm just, again, I think the idea was that do you want some flexibility that does allow us to maybe play that into what happens below a little bit.
So I just, just thinking, like, in terms of, let's just say 3 foot step back, and then you have that, you know, that tile, you know, element there, but then everything below that is set back to whatever it ends up being set back. So you'd end up with this sort of, you know, more prominent piece there. So that whole line would then stick out as something more prominent, which it ends up, so that's kind of a different effect in a way,
yeah.
Where maybe you do think about it as a, you know, less of a step back, or it ends up being flush. Because if you do, you know, then you have, it's not like you have this, you know,
monolithic building.
Yeah. You don't have this column on top and then this thing that just sticks out. I mean, yeah. Maybe you do want that. Maybe that is what it looks like. Yeah. I'm just thinking if, from the pedestrian level again, if you kept that line where it's the tile line where it's at, but then you do this, you know, you do more of that, you know, sort of main gate-ish element all the way along at that middle line of the windows. Like, how's that going to look? You're going to end up with sort of this, you know, more tiered
thing.
So you might want less setback.
I think what we...
So maybe the 1-3 works, I guess.
Can we motion to for just the relief in the step back, but not dictate a number until we see what you propose?
But not
you're coming back to us.
It's not going
to
go... It's not going to be greater than
step back?
Yeah, it won't be...
Step
but I
John, yeah, like Matt said, not greater than 3.
I know, it's the same, it's just wording it, whether it's 1.
And we're all in agreement
three,
that 12 feet is onerous for this thing.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
So they can then figure it out
right
back. Yeah, that's what I was trying to give them direction.
We can motion that a 12-foot step back is not appropriate.
At the second level.
Yeah.
But I just
I mean that's where I would stop. I wouldn't give it, you know, as a dimension.
Or let's let them, you know,
let them come back.
Because they know the four of us are really not adverse to.
If we got
changing it.
If we got a range from 1 to 3 feet, I think that would give us the flexibility to allow Jeff to.
But do you need that range?
Well, it might. Maybe it's just easier to say that we approve the alternative setback design.
Step back
design, and leave it at that.
Well, but then it's going to what? Step
not
to
exceed 3 feet.
Not to exceed 3 feet.
Right, but then we could end up with 0, and then how does that feel as well?
Or they may come back and say, "Oh, we think 6 feet may be better with the scheme."
I have a feeling they're not going to do that.
No, I don't think they're
just throwing it out there.
They won't go over the 3.
He doesn't know where to put things at that point.
Yeah, it's tight.
That will really become a later thing.
If you approve the step back, you can really focus on what I think Johnny's issue is, and that's the street level experience. And we're coming back with something new with that.
And you know you can then build a efficient floor plate above it. Right. You know, that's really important. I get that very, very much. Working on a hotel.
Right.
Every foot's got to be efficient, and it uses a lot of dollars.
3 feet.
Or you go broke, or you can't finance it.
Just go with the 3 feet.
Simple.
I'd say the 1 to 3 feet. Like that, he wants to have some flexibility to pull it back out a little bit, but it does go.
Yeah.
Just say 3 feet max.
That's saying the same thing.
Yeah.
We don't want it flush. We don't see that that's necessarily the way to work without that, but it does. It gives us more design flexibility than anything else. So, and we may not need it. It may be okay as it is, you know, without moving it at all. Although, I mean, we like the way it looks. That element as it is.
Yeah, I like that.
I mean, we want to take this seriously. I mean, it's going to your comments, and it's going to improve this area of the building, and we'll just see if there's anything that needs to happen above it.
So, how do we want?
I don't know. And I guess I'm just trying to imagine that street level step back, and I think maybe
don't vote
step
for
back.
That
way. Maybe that would be fine. Even with the 3. So. I guess I'd go with the 1 to 3.
1 to 3.
And that's what they requested, 1 to 3.
1 to 3, and if they come back with 9 inches, we can vote, you know.
Or you can even, if you come back with
we have
a suggestion, like we really could go ahead and if we went to zero, then they could do it and we could look at it, but we're really trying to push it to the 1 to 3
right.
at that point. And we're comfortable with that.
And
that.
Yeah, and then from a developer's point of view, I mean, they need to know the floor plate flexibility that they have just to make the project work.
I mean, what they want to do right now is even if they were to get a little bit of floor space back, it would really make sense. I don't think they're really going to increase.
They're not looking for floor space. Yeah.
Right, and those floor, I mean, they're already set up.
They got the grid like this. So
they're going to really compare. Yeah, they're designed out to the inch those units.
Yeah, exactly.
They're really compared.
So
that's why
I would say there's a very, very high likelihood that we come back and it's just the 3 feet. As Tom knows, you know, adding this foot is not going to do anything for us.
No, you won't get any more efficiency and you'll pay for the foot.
You don't get more rent.
Architecturally, aesthetically, trying to make it all work. That's the only reason for it, for that flexibility.
Yeah.
It's gotta be for the facade.
So, are we good with 1 to 3?
So, I think we should pause and wait for Jane to come back. I just want to say that we do have a motion on the table or on the floor that we'll either need to proceed with or amend.
I can amend the motion. Should I state it when she's here?
Yes.
I thought it wasn't a motion. He was asking for a motion.
Right. Everybody seconded it.
Well, I have...
He was asking for a motion that had those criteria.
We can make the motion. Yeah, no, John, are you okay with that? The 1 to 3 now.
Start fresh.
Okay. Where's Jane?
I see her.
So procedurally, I think it would be that we kind of just remove that motion. I'm not going to say reveal, but just let it die.
Start over and just say.
And then just start.
Carolyn, was there a second to that motion?
No.
There was a motion.
I was asking.
He was asking for a motion.
Okay.
All right, go. Now make a motion.
I'm going to ask for another motion.
Okay.
A motion for approval of the alternative step back design that will allow the project's Speedway step back to begin at the second level and recess 1 to 3 feet from the first level facade.
With the recognition that this is a case by case approval.
Yeah, we've got to add that. That's important.
Because this is on Speedway.
That's really important. You good?
Do I have a motion as a member?
You gonna move, Matt?
Carolyn, are you writing this down?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to hear
the whole thing.
The revision.
Just gotta memorize.
I'm just done standing up. I'm not leaving the room.
Okay, so as requested by the applicant, for the alternative step back to begin, step back 1 to 3 feet along the Speedway facade. And the let me just read that again. I lost it.
To begin at the second level.
This is pretty well stated.
Do you want me to tell you what I have written down and you can see if it works?
Well, let me take another crack at it and we'll go from there. Okay. So the motion is for the approval of the alternative step back design that will allow for the project's Speedway step back to begin at the second level and be recessed 1 to 3 feet from the first level facade. And then the second piece to that, believe that's the period, and then we're going to start a second sentence that says that this is being reviewed on a case-by-case basis along Speedway.
or the sounds good.
The step back relief.
Step back relief.
Step back relief.
It's not oppressed. It's not
step back right. On a case by case basis.
And it's not a precedent.
And is not a
it's
precedent.
Not set a precedent.
Does not set a precedent.
Yeah.
The step back is only for a certain percentage.
Right.
Right. Because the corner comes all the way out.
Yeah, so right.
To clarify.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Good point.
Yeah, we're not asking for relief from that because we. It's 75% of the street frontage, and our step back is more than that. So, but it probably would be good to clarify that it's, we can put in that along 75% of the frontage.
Along Speedway.
Are you all amenable to that?
Because it doesn't include the corner.
Do we have a second?
Yes.
You're good?
What's that?
You're making a motion?
Are you making the motion?
Sure, no, okay.
You're asking for a motion.
So moved. The motion's been made.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
So moved.
Here, all in favor?
Second.
Say aye.
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 All opposed. Aye. Unanimous. Move.
Who made the motion?
I asked for the motion. I think
it's Matt. Matt made the motion.
I made the motion.
Yeah.
Oh. I thought I was just requesting to hear the motion. But okay.
Okay. So we have that was approved for that item. Now let's go back to the design piece. And your options here again are approved with conditions, continued, or return with additional items or denied?
I think just so personally.
Continued.
There's so many conditions and so many things that have been brought up by different folks around the table that the continuance would I think make sense for them. And, you know, because they're going to address it.
Okay.
And I think that everyone knows we really kind of we like the building that per se, and the idea and everything else, but the questions like John and Rick brought up about the West Side and some of the stuff Matt brought up and Jane brought up about the, you know, the corner part, you know, it seems to me that we may have a continuance and issue the minutes with all the comments.
Mm-hmm. Was that a motion?
Yes.
Okay, any further discussion?
I'd like to ask for clarification. I believe that it would be helpful for everyone if we had a clear outline of which items they were going to be bring back to us. I have a kind of a basic list that I've been running. Perhaps it would be helpful if I asked if that was something that you wanted to include in the motion or remove it. So the first item was a lighting concern to ensure that that was properly addressed.
Okay.
Is that something you're still...
Yep.
Yeah. I want to point out that was along Speedway and on Tyndall.
Yeah.
Just so that those points.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, those were the two
right.
areas
yeah.
that we were talking about.
So we're thinking streetscape, pedestrian level concern.
Right. Yeah.
Nothing above, correct?
No.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay. The second item would be to update the design on the western fringe, and that would be, we can do this in two pieces. It would just be to update the design on the western fringe that would address the alleyway, landscaping, and adjacency to the historic properties.
Mm-hmm.
That would be one option. Or the second option is we could break that up into multiple pieces, so it would just be one item, one lined item. I'm sorry, I want to add the, no, I think we should, do you want to address the mechanical units separately, or should this be addressed with this item? The corner piece, the box.
It affects more than just the west, so
right.
yeah.
might need to be its own.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that would be the alleyway, the landscape, and the historic.
And the western facade, you know, western.
Including some views of the existing.
Yeah, I think
right.
to focus the presentation so we can see the context with the historic properties.
And how it's going to appear when you're driving down the street.
Yeah, need to see more of the context in elevation and perspective.
Right.
Okay. concept and elevation. So two different drawings.
Basically, he's looking at like renderings and just the straight elevation.
So we have a three.
So that's not just limited to the west side though, because that ties into the Speedway frontage and how that Speedway frontage ties to the context of the historic properties as well.
Okay.
Right. The presentation thing is to see how this building relates
to the historic elements.
So perhaps it would be best to have a freestanding kind of condition that clarifies the interaction with the historic structures, period.
Period.
Right.
Okay. And then the other items would be addressed as we discussed before.
Right.
Are you comfortable with that?
Yeah, do you have, I think we talked about a way to ensure privacy or mitigate negative impacts of the service side for the residential existing residences.
Through landscaping, screening, etc.
Odor abatement.
Right. All right. We also discussed the hours of operation in that area in the alleyway. Is that something that you wish to have the consultants address further, kind of when they could do pick up and drop off and trash? Or is that something that you feel would be addressed in separately? Or not at all?
I think the code review pretty much addresses that.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, it's pretty strict.
This is pretty forced.
Depends on the side.
That's a good
one.
Yeah, that is. I mean, one of the challenges we have even with loading, getting vehicles in and out of urban areas is that there's no ordinance at the city that limits the size of those vehicles. And so we're shrinking our streets that we don't have ordinances to support that mm-hmm. make it work, because all of our trucks come from Phoenix and they arrive at noon to make hard deliveries. It's really lovely. So that's why I said, is it enforced?
No.
That's a good point. Conditions on these cases, if they're enforceable, it's much easier for staff and everyone,
sure.
The community. Yeah. And then the last piece, I think it would be very helpful if you could really provide direct and clear direction on how to address that Speedway facade, including the mechanical unit area.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could kind of talk about how you would like that condition to be stated, it would be helpful. Because we had about a 25-minute discussion, and I can pull out the main points on that.
The shade and so on.
Yeah, I think the components of the comments on the Speedway facade pertain to creating a comfortable and enhanced pedestrian experience along Speedway.
That act.
Oh, I thought we were just talking about that utility thing at the corner.
Well, I thought that was part of it.
I think it's a combination of the two, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think what the context of the historic creates that same thing, ties it in as well. So I think they're all part of how.
Just as long as we're talking about like integrating that corner piece into the pedestrian phase, you know, the pedestrian part along the rest of Speedway, because that was one of the things we were talking about. So it's not just isolating it, it's also recognizing, yeah, we want that to tie into, because right now it kind of stands out separately.
Yeah, so it's kind of like an add on instead of.
Right, so she's asking for that, I think, to make sure that the mechanical element, it integrates, you know, with the rest of the design along.
With the whole design. Mm-hmm.
So generally, in our other hearings, I've been able to kind of help you with the language a little bit more, because it was a director decision. In this scenario, that piece really does need to come.
Well, I think it's going to come from them.
It's going to come from them. I think they know.
I think
really
for
what
us to instruct them on how to do it is not what we want.
It's not just limited to the mechanical or electrical transformer.
It might be easier just to say that we have conditions and we're continuing it.
But I do think it would be helpful for them to have some kind of guidance on which pieces they need to have, they need to respond to.
Well, all of those.
I think we're comfortable on the speedway frontage on the things that we need to address and how those relate to the other historic components on the west, but also, I mean, I think Johnny was really clear on the things that he was looking for.
Because I think they're going to be all inclusive because they want to get it approved.
This is a continuance. I don't think we have any questions unless Jeff or Rory. I don't think we have any questions about the direction, and I think it'll be up to us to either hit it or miss it when we come back. And I'd like to think we're going to hit it.
Unless we haven't covered everything. I mean, I think we've covered all the locations and the areas and the things.
That was my point. That's why I wanted to do the continuance.
Okay. Do you feel comfortable in the design question on the corner with mechanical units? And do you feel that you've received enough direction for the redesign? Mm-hmm. I think
we want to integrate that better into the building.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Evaluate
retail to kind of make it a better retail and streetscape experience as we're moving through. And I think John was mentioning about tying in, you know, seeing more of a tie-in with what's happening with the facade of the building as it goes west to the historic homes.
And turning north.
So what we'll do, we'll do that elevation that kind of takes across the whole thing, and then we'll do another rendering or two renderings along that area of the building to show. I think there's concern that you don't really know what it looks like.
Right.
And exactly. I think it ties in with the rest of the building pretty well, but I talked about a couple things that we could do to improve that. And the one that's a little tricky, to be perfectly honest, is the buffer to the neighbors. How do you handle that? I'm not sure. So that's one we're going to have to think about a little bit.
Yeah, totally.
We really didn't do that with the building next door that's bigger. I'm not sure what's different. It's different because it's at the street. So that's
5 feet. If we take that back, I think there's definitely something doable. It's a matter of.
So I can speak to that 5 foot. That was something that definitely came down from Tucson Fire. So I believe that any kind of modification to that is probably going to be a challenge.
I thought they said they were fine with that.
We just thought it was better because of the window traffic. They were like, yeah, that's great, but I don't think that they put any condition on that. That's not how I...
So we can look into that. But it's been... We'd be happy to look into that. Sorry.
It's water, I swear.
That would have been a good idea, though. A thermos full of wine.
Can you share?
So I make a motion that we have a continuance and the items that we discussed and also have been noted by the client or the developer that are addressed and come back and we review the project.
So now, do I have a second?
I'll second it. I thought maybe somebody else wanted to be on the record.
I don't know. Matt's taking silence pills.
All in favor?
Question.
Yeah.
Carolyn, you're going to issue minutes from this, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're unapproved minutes?
Can we do an LAR and then we come back?
So if the verbiage isn't quite right in that, we have to wait till next meeting to revise it, or can that be revised and then reissued?
She'll send out the LAR before the next meeting.
Comment on that.
Sure.
Before.
Yeah, we just want to approve the minutes, or we'll approve them
to the next meeting. Yeah.
So okay. Let me just think this through.
I'm just thinking because if there are comments on it, they need to know before the next meeting.
Absolutely, John. I think you're absolutely right.
How does that work?
And the minutes aren't cast in stone anyhow.
Right. Because we're not actually approving.
They're not directed.
This is them taking the direction, and they have to come back anyway, and we are going to look at it, and if it doesn't meet our criteria are, we're not
exactly.
I'm trying to
see something that you have, like comments, or I see something about
missing.
then we comment on it. We should forward it and have it to them. So that's only fair to them.
Right.
Can
do that.
Right.
Yeah.
So time is money. All right.
Yeah, I wasn't clear on whether or not we had to wait to approve it for the LAR.
No.
Or we could do it before.
I think in this case, we would be more than happy to do that.
Yeah.
All right. So all in favor? Aye.
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 Against? All approved.
I make a motion that we adjourn the meeting.
You don't have to second.
What? Oh, excuse me.
A motion to adjourn.
No,
you
no,
need?
No, no. I need you guys for 10 minutes.
Wow.
10 minutes. But everyone else can be dismissed. Please take the elevator and the door on the left. And no, we didn't. There are three things that we need to talk about. I'm sorry. Okay, so the next item, future agenda item. We have a situation in Maingate associated with the waste pickup. Sorry, Jane. I have to talk about this publicly.
That's okay.
So we have three fairly active restaurants and bars that had an agreement that no longer is possible. And so each one of these is coming back through planning and development services for some minor changes to how the waste is being addressed, mostly with the enclosures because we're no longer able to use the compactor. We have a couple of options. One option is that we hold another, at our next meeting, we hold an agenda item that addresses all three of them. Or we provide in an email the elevations for each one, and they are kind of minor changes. However, we're not considering them minor because there was an agreement that has dissipated.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. So, you know, there's the two ways that we can address it. It's kind of up to you all. The two of them are more major than the other because there are three stories or greater. And within the main gate in this section, if there's a project that's three stories or more, it needs to come to you all.
Right.
Two stories does not.
If there's one that's three stories or more, I personally think we should bring them here. We shouldn't differentiate. We should just all look at it together.
Okay. So that would be my recommendation. Right. You look at all of them because
right.
It was initially considered to be an overall plan.
Right. Exactly.
Is that... Yes? Is that something you want to hear?
Okay.
And see?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will probably say that that's going to be a challenging meeting.
Sure.
For a lot of reasons. But I just... Fair warning.
This is a tough crew. We're
yeah.
okay.
Okay, I know.
We stick together. We're good.
So what we can do is we'll send out a poll within the next 2 weeks. We didn't talk about timing, but I'm sure that they're probably going to want to come back pretty quickly to y'all.
Sure.
And I can kind of get the ball rolling with the three restaurants to see.
I'm a little confused because some of them have already built their enclosures.
So, yes.
Like illegal peat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
they did not
frogs is on the plan.
They did not come back through
I see.
Our piece of the review. So.
It's retroactive.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, so this is like the
oh my
first hub?
No, it's a little different. There was an agreement that was made that ultimately fell through.
I see. So they're building to an agreement that was prescribed, but then the conditions weren't possible.
No, they had an agreement with all of them to do something,
mm-hmm.
and then
fell through.
They disbanded that and just went off on their own. So
well, it didn't happen quite like that. But I don't know who is... One is saying one thing and one is saying the other.
But that's kind of what happened.
But what happened is we were presented as a group, including us, to share in a compactor that would reduce the
the amount of space used for waste in that area.
Right.
Correct. And I thought that was a grand idea, and my merchants were going to have to travel the furthest to do that, but I felt that it would enhance that alleyway, and maybe we could do some really cool things in that alleyway. And it seemed to be okay with no anchovies, and Illegal Pete's was presenting it, but once he realized how much it was going to cost him to do that enclosure because of everything that goes on, and then trying to integrate it with the pedestrian stuff and the alleyway and the U of A and not blocking from the... I mean, it's complicated. It was complicated, and it went on for like a year. And a few of us agreed to write checks to him. Now, on my behalf, I would say that we are at the maximum of what our garbage is going to be, unless I'm allowed to build another building in my back area, and it's just behind and no one can see it, and it's two stories or less. And
did you see her look at me?
Which I'm not going to do, but anyway.
Right now.
No, I'm a 365-degree historic building. I don't know about these others. I thought they were, too. But... My thing was, my trash is going to go up incrementally when theirs does, because we're paying it as it goes up. But I'm paying my trash now at a maximum level. They've grown their rate with the city was based on their small footprint. So I said, I will agree to pay this much. I think Nelson agreed to pay a certain amount. And then somebody may not have agreed. But that's one person's side of the story. The other person is saying that
the rates went up.
No, the rates weren't up yet. But I just said, I don't want to pay what you're asking me to pay, because I'm going to end up paying to supplement all of your increased garbage with my maximum rate that I want to pay.
It's not like everybody has the same.
Exactly, and we didn't have that figured out. So at some point, I think the cost, and then dealing with this other party who may or may not have been at fault, because it's between the two of them, not between the four of us, I don't think, if that makes any sense. So we were ready to write our checks. We wanted a contract, so we'd make sure that the money that we gave them was spent on the actual enclosure.
So we should just bring it here.
So it's going to be not pretty.
Yeah. Does this need to be a separate meeting then from the hub? Because, I mean, if it...
Yeah.
I mean, this is already going on 3 hours. And this is just for this project. I don't think that it would necessarily be as long. They shouldn't have to do the full presentation next time, but this is going to take, you know, probably an hour for this, and then if there's, like, a fist fight, we got to...
I'm kind of with Matt. I think Matt's right. We should have a separate meeting.
You won't worry
about it. It's a whole different issue.
Okay.
And then we should have a clear, relaxed day.
I don't know. You guys know what it sounds like.
I think your suggestion is correct.
It's well taken, I think, Matt.
And we ought to have security.
We'll do it during the day.
No, no, I actually was going to suggest that maybe we do it during the day.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll set out a poll. We'll send a poll out.
If possible.
What's your next item?
The next item is the Tyndall Student Housing Sterling project that we saw. They've come in with quite a bit of refinement.
I've heard that.
Most of them, I think, are... we could do it over to email, kind of how we've done it and with other projects, but there's one sticking point in this one, and it's the red stripe. They're asking to modify that pretty substantially. They talked about the setback in the meeting.
Yeah, they're trying to, if they take that away, it'll really affect the way the building.
We should see it. You know, that's...
Well, I mean, if it's substantial, it's substantial. That's like...
Yeah.
If you have enough of a combination of insubstantial, it becomes substantial. Yeah. I mean,
I think we should buy a round-trip ticket for Jan Savelli so she can go off on him like she did on part one.
So am I hearing two meetings or three?
Sounds like a separate meeting.
Or could Sterling just be dealt with in the same meeting?
Yeah, the same meeting.
Right, as one of the others.
Yeah, Sterling. One of the others.
So Sterling and Waste?
I don't care how you group them.
Maybe they can be for our protection.
Yeah, Sterling and Waste, because we're only going to address, it sounds like, we might address a few other things, but maybe one item in the design.
First.
Yeah, that's what I would do, have Sterling come.
I don't know, I think we have him stay till the end of protection.
more witnesses.
For protection.
Yeah, as long as it's, I mean, it's just three meetings.
It's a lot.
It's going to be a lot harder to coordinate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, especially this time of year.
So I'd bring it in with Waste, do it first, put it first on the agenda.
Do I need to sign it?
No, do you need it?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah, I need to sign that.
I didn't sign it.
Oh, thank you for bringing that up.
All right, I'm going to call to the audience. Call.
Nope. They all left.
Okay.
Good timing.
I renew my motion.
You're
meeting adjourned.
Didn't we repeal your motion?
And replaced it.